KEHUG Mobile listening. NADF. W8RCY, good morning. I am just fumbling around. Must be stopping to get his Red Bull somewhere. W8RCY, standing by. NADF. I just called out to you and you didn't answer, so I figured you had to do your Red Bull pickup. I heard you initially, but I'm fumbling around here, fumble. And good morning, W8RCY.
K8RUH. Good morning, Donald. Good morning, Anthony. I don't know what I was doing. I was listening to the radio. I figured I was early. But making my way in now. So hope everyone's having a good morning. I'll hand it over to Anthony, and Anthony give it to Donald.
What's going on? Yeah, I had my radio on, but apparently I had the volume turned down. And I looked over, and the meter was showing that there was somebody talking, and turned it on, and I was like, oh, it's time. Everybody should be chatting now. But, yeah, sorry I missed you. I don't know when you started calling out, Dakota. I had the radio on, but didn't hear it.
Good morning, Anthony and Dakota. Yeah, I heard Dakota call, but I was just fumbling around, and the radio was on the other side of my mini mansion apartment, and I just didn't get over there. And then when I called back to him, he didn't answer, so I figured he was on a Red Bull run. And then you popped in, and now at least three of us are here. But I've had the radio on for a little over an hour, and about an hour ago on the other side, the dark side, the Mount Clemens repeater was acting up with tomfoolery and the dead gene, and I'm going, come on, it's 5:45 in the morning, and I got to listen to this. But anyhow, yeah, I hear there's a little chill in the air, the sky is clear, the moon looks nice, and I'm just chilling with a cup of coffee and a two-way radio and my tablet.
Today is actually a coffee day. It was 32 degrees. I'm like, you know what? Coffee sounds good. That was Sleep Token came on. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of them. They're a relatively new, I don't know what you call them, metalcore pop band kind of deal. I'm like, oh, I like this song. So I turned it up. Figured it was a little early. And then here we are. Yesterday was a busy radio day, kind of, sort of. I put my new antenna up. Still really trying to figure out how I can get it outside without it looking gaudy. I need to find a mask. I don't know if it made any performance difference, but I did gain 6 meters out of the deal, so that's cool.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm going to try to... I still haven't put up that antenna that you gave me, that HF antenna that I can't even remember what it was, that I got to... I'm going to put some serious time and thought into how I want to put that up. So you may be getting some texts this weekend going, what am I supposed to do with this? But I'd love to have something up before winter so I can listen and mess around.
For Anthony, I've been meaning to ask you on your next go-around. How does your, I know they got that repeater up in the area of Grosse Pointe somewhere. I don't remember the intersection area that it's in, but how's that working for you out there? On the next go-around, you can answer. W8RCY.
Yeah, it's a good antenna, Anthony. I think he'll be happy with it. Just make sure you got a good tuner. Not even a good tuner. Just it'll do 3-to-1. Made a lot of contacts on that antenna. That was the first HF antenna I bought before I went to an NFET half wave. So I'm just racking my brain on what I'm going to do here. It's getting a little late in the year to sink anything in the ground, so I might get a tripod or something with a mast and set it out in the yard for now. But I'm itching to get a good 2-meter 70 centimeter and 6 meter antenna out in the air, but I don't know how much difference it's going to make just going through one sheet of plywood. And, yeah, antennas, man, it's always something.
That's cool. Is there a lot of 6-meter action around here, or are you just playing with it and letting people know that you're going to be on there and then you talk with them? And, Donald, that repeater has not gone up yet. I think Sean is still trying to decide where it will be ultimately put. I think he had a couple different sites and hasn't made a decision. I know he was trying to get access to a different spot by trading spots, just a bunch of different things, a little bit of red tape here, a little bit of red tape there. I think ultimately he does still have intentions of putting an FBI repeater down in that area.
Okay, appreciate the information. Copy that, because I still get into the shores a little bit, not as much as I used to, but because after my mom passed, I really don't have any significance going back. But if I'm in the south end of St. Clair Shores, south of 9 Mile, through the Harper, Greater Mac, Jefferson corridors, it'd be nice to have communications down there. I mean, I know I can have decent service even with a high power HT in that area and hit Mount Clemens, but yeah, I was also, like I say, you're down there now, and you're probably not the only radio operator, whether it's amateur or GMRS, that needs service. So I appreciate the update there. Yeah, antennas. Guys are talking about antennas. I'm looking at upgrading my antenna. I just have an 8-inch rubber blade on my door wall, 85 feet up in the air, and it works great. But, yeah, I got to get something because the antenna is only a 440 to 470 range antenna, and some of my radio equipment gets down into 430. And I'm looking at either a beam or a point towards, because I see Detroit, pointing right down Detroit's throat and hit those repeaters, or put a small access mobile antenna with some dB gain on it. And since I live in, you guys all know where I live, the HOA stuff, I might just have to put a post in a bucket of cement or something, and because I can't fix anything to the structure of the balcony. But I've got options, and I'm dilly-dallying. I've got the Sharpie with the napkin design and notes on it and everything else. So come spring, I will make an investment and a final decision on that. Dakota?
I don't think a station's ever perfect unless you spend $1 billion and get a giant, 65-foot tower and all kinds of stuff on it. But this is the most compromised setup I've ever had in my radio career of 3 years. So I don't love it, but it works. I would really like to improve on the 2-meter, 70-centimeter side. HF, not so much a big deal. I don't do a lot of HF at home. And the HF I do at home, it would be like NVIS stuff, so even if it is in the attic, it shouldn't be a problem. So really the focus is just getting that antenna outside. I don't know how I'm going to do it, because I really, not even that, like, it's not a cost or an effort thing. I really don't want to put holes in my house.
That's where I'm at, is I don't want to put holes in the house, so it's trying to figure out how to get these coax wires into the house is one of the more difficult things. But hey, I got to jump, guys. I got to go into the office, just pulled in the driveway. I'll probably switch over to the phone and keep listening and chime in if I get the opportunity. This is KE8RUH. Catch up with you guys soon.
Okay, I just had a bit embarrassing moment. I picked up my phone to talk to you guys instead of my radio. Okay, I need more coffee. Yeah. All right, Anthony, we'll be listening for you to listen in, and if you don't make it back, have a great day. Yeah, with me, I got a massive door wall right next to my radio desk, and the on-glass antenna that I have on the inside of the glass, like I said, suffices for now. But being as high up as I am, I think Dakota mentioned 100-foot tower. I'd have to at least put up about a 120-foot tower just to clear the roof of the building if I were allowed to put a tower out from the ground up, because it's a 9-story structure. Yeah, like I say, I got options, and, you know, Sean and I talked about a few things and how to mount it and so on and so forth. But I'm most likely looking at buying a heavy dB gain mobile antenna. And, again, going back to my racing roots, what they use to get signals out on some road course tracks that have multiple elevation changes and dips and valleys and 120 feet up kind of stuff. Those mobile antennas on ground plane platforms you can mount and run a 58. RG58 style coax, because I gotta figure out, like Anthony just said before he logged off, getting the cable, you know, through the door wall and stuff like that without drilling holes. And they just repaired my door wall for leaks that I've had. And this building is 50 years old and it's got some leaks in it. So those are the projects I'll be thinking about and working on.
I think you would benefit from a small Yagi dual band, because they have so much gain, and a tripod, and point it towards whatever repeater you want to use, which I believe is Warren, and I think that'll do you just fine.
Well, my tower faces directly southwest. It's pitched at an angle off of DeQuinder, so, and DeQuinder runs north and south. And I'm on the south side of the complex, or I face the south side of the complex, facing due southwest. And I can still see the Detroit skyline from an angle, and in the wintertime, I can see the entire Detroit skyline. So if I put up a really good dual bander beam, you know, with a high dB gain, just, and there's, you know, UHF, VHF, GMRS repeaters, there's a ton of repeaters down there that I can just aim it at Detroit, aim it at the new Hudson's building, and I can hit everything down there that I would need. So that would probably be the direction I go. It's just a matter of the length of the main element beam of the beam itself. I think they're like 17, I mean, they're under a foot and a half. They're like 16 to 18 inches long. And if I put it in a tripod and stick it in the corner, directly up against the building, because I do have a floor above me, and because I'm on the 8th of 9 floors. But if I point that guy right down the throat of Detroit, I should have no problem hitting any UHF or VHF antenna. And the Warren repeaters, the Troy GMRS repeaters, I can still hit on, you know, 5-watt HTs with no problem. I can hit the Troy repeater, Big Beaver and Livernoy, on 1-watt HT. So I got the power, I got the height. It's just a matter of, like I say, just getting a good beam on a decent base and be mounted to the building and just pointing right down Detroit. I should be pretty much good and set to go.
With your height, though, I mean, you could get by with like a Comet GP1, a Diamond X30, and some sort of rail clamp, like those GoPro clamps that have like the rubber fingers that wouldn't damage anything, and you could just clip that right on your railing and then run the coax inside. I think that would probably be plenty for you. All you need is some gain and to be outdoors, and I think it'll be what you need.
I was just going to pause there for a second and see if Sean was jumping in. I can't affix anything to the structure, the railing, or anything of my balcony. And another restriction we have is we have European, Middle Eastern communities here as well, and they have their satellite dishes to pick up signals, and they cannot, you can have them, but you cannot affix those small, you know, like I think they're only maybe 2 feet in diameter satellite receivers, but you cannot affix them to the railing or anything else. So they do the same thing. They stick a pole and a bucket of cement and mount it to that, and then they just have it up over the top of the railing, and it's, you know, basically open sky from there. So that's what I would have to do with the beam. And like I said, I've got some ideas and I'm pricing out, and I probably won't use a tripod, and I probably won't use a 5-gallon bucket of cement. I think I might buy an umbrella base that you would put in for a backyard patio cable thing, you know, those heavy bases that you fill with sand or water, and use that and put a pole in there that's about 4.5 feet high. No. Railing is 40, yeah, it's 48 inches high. My railing's 4 feet high. So we're going to have to clear that. So you're looking at maybe about a 5-foot pole with the beam on that. And like I said, pointed towards Detroit. I should be pretty much good to go, for sure.
Coming out of that hole here. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to do much because you got so much height. You just got to figure out how you can do it and do it nonchalantly. I think I might actually order a mask today. I don't know. I'm kind of just to the point where I'm like, you know what, screw it. Just got to figure out how I can stick it in the ground. I already have a place where the coax comes out of the house. I pulled it back inside, but I left the run of coax that I have long so I could put a mask out deliberately. I've got like an extra 30-something feet, so plenty for a mask. Just got to figure out how I can secure it to the ground. I really don't want guy wires that I got to weed whack around.
Yeah, copy that. But like I say, with me, the biggest trick is finding the right coax. I mean, I have this antenna that I have that's a non-glass antenna that's, again, racing, you know, a lot of my stuff that I have electronically outside of two-way radio that you would find in these catalogs like DX Engineering are specifically designed for inside race cars. But we run in racing XPR 5550 radios that are 3550 watt radios, and the antenna that just goes up to the roof is, you know, real thin. I mean, I think it's RT213 or something like that, and I could fit that between the glass of the sliding glass door wall and adhere it so it like runs along the track, not the track itself, but you understand what I'm saying, is the two windows are passing one another, and I could probably not have any problems with that. And you know, so if that cable can run, you know, 45, 50 watts and handle it, it should be able to work fine for what I have now. I don't need to get the expensive LMR 400 or anything like that, because that would be almost impossible to try to feed through a door wall.
I think you're talking about RG316. It's like copper color.
It might be, but this antenna I had, they were basically built 450, 470, and the guys at Racing Radios, you know, had the manufacturer build me one that's 440, 470, because that's when I was first getting into ham, and that's what I'm using now on my big box base radio, and it seems to work just fine. But, again, it's all internal. Everything I have is internal. Like I said, the only thing I'm worried about with the beam is if you can see it from the street, which I doubt if you will, if I tuck it up against the corner of my balcony, you shouldn't be able to see it. And if it gets worse, I'll just put instead of putting a beam out there, I'll put a mobile antenna on a ground plane and get a, you know, dual bander for what little 2-meter I do talk on, because I think the Macomb County ARPSC thing is on 2-meter. One of my radios will talk on that, but it doesn't reach Mount Clemens well. Other than that, though, but like I say, I've got everything I've pretty much figured out. It's just a matter of putting it all together, and with all that's been going on with my dental work and health issues and everything else that I have, some of it's on the back burner, so I'm looking forward to 2026. I'm actually looking forward for this year to be over with, and 2026 being a fresh, clean slate to make all these changes.
I don't know if you have a mobile radio in mind, but I just bought that 778, and laughed when I opened it up because of how tiny it is. Like, if you have cargo shorts on, you could fit it in your cargo short pocket.
Leaving some space there. Other than my extended of the HGs that I have, the three brands that I have. And the extended, I mean, I have an extended battery pack on my Boofwang. This HT that I'm talking on now, the Wuxian KGUV9PX, is probably about as high as a pack of cigarettes and about maybe less than 2 inches wide, and it fits in my shirt pocket. Very nice rear inside jacket pocket, you know, over the chest area. I do have cargo short or cargo pants and cargo shorts from that tech company 5.11, and there's plenty of pockets that this radio will fit in quite nicely. But my Boofwang fit in those pockets even better. And yeah, this one that I'm talking on now, this Wuxian, is an 8-watt radio, and I am running on low power through my node, 1 watt or 2 watts, whatever it is. But yeah, this is my all-around radio that would be in my go bag right now that I have. And definitely, as you can hear, it's probably a decent-sounding radio through my node.
Yep, I put those up there with Anytone when it comes to Chinese radios. I don't have all the features that the some of the Anytones do, but the quality's there for sure. But I am rolling up to the office here, so I'm going to clear out and get inside, get today over with, and then maybe I'll catch you on the drive home. I'll be clear up to yours. Have a good day. N8DDF.
Okie dokie then. You sure have a great day. Make the best of it. And it's Friday Eve. It's going to be a nice clear day. And I guess they're talking about possible rain tomorrow and even some of that white flurry stuff as well. And Anthony, if you're still listening in the background, have a great day as well. Don't work too hard. And hope everybody just has a wonderful, wonderful day. I've got physical therapy this afternoon. God, I'm doing more and more stuff than I used to. Well, cardiovascular stuff's just a dad checkup. It's only once a month. But the normal routine is there. Chiropractor on Monday, physical therapy on Thursday. And I'm off from the dentist for another 2 weeks. So, yeah, I get to actually relax and start thinking about antennas again for for my balcony. Okay, I'm done rambling. I got coffee in me. I'm picking up my radio instead of my phone to talk, so that's a good thing. W8RCY. Everybody have a great day.
W8FU.
Good morning. W8RCY here. Anthony's already at work. Dakota's already at his office. And, I'm just fumbling along this morning, fumble, fumble, fumble. How goes it with you?
Yeah, same old, except for a little late today. Set the alarm clock, or had the alarm clock turned off. When I opened my eyes, it was almost 7 o'clock. I'm like, what? Anyhow. So here I am. Good morning.
Definitely a good morning. Yeah, I've been up since about 4:30, I think, but I didn't turn my radio on until about 5:30. Again, I'm just fumbling around and thinking about some stuff and, medical stuff, health stuff, things like that. I got to start thinking about projects of where that's going to go next year, and talking with my sister last night about some things as well. But that's all really, excuse me for bringing it up on the radio, but it's not stuff that we should be talking about on the radio. Other than that, though, like I say, it's a great day. There's a nice moon out this morning, and that's about it here. Physical therapy this early this morning, and that's it for my day. And other than that, happy Friday Eve.
Yeah, that it is. Oh, man. I hope this late start doesn't just put the bad juju on the whole day, I guess. So I dialed up the other band there this morning to kind of see if anything was going on. It seems like it's been pretty normal, so I'm happy about that. We'll see. Don't like talking about it too much here, but it seems like things have been pretty cool. And, cold, man, I'm okay with it, but I left the dog out this morning just before I went to work, and holy Moses, can't keep the window open. Speaking of getting stuff done, I gotta figure out if I want to invest in an FSA account. The way I heard it, I never knew exactly the details of it. Somebody explained it to me the other day, and I'm like, man, why aren't I doing this?
It's pretty much what I did with my SSD when I was, in my position back in when I was 56 and did it when I did it and, got it the very first try. With SSD, you can get denied to the point where you just go bankrupt paying attorneys and nothing gets done. You got to start thinking about that kind of stuff, whether it's SSA or SSD or SSI, it doesn't matter, and so on and so forth. But I hate to burst your bubble, but at between 5:45 and 6 o'clock this morning, there was some stuff going on the .675 for sure. Other than that, we'll move on from that, and I bet you were surprised by the weather this morning and just letting the dog out. Even the dog was probably surprised. It's like, don't close that door. I'm just going to take care of my business, and I'm running right back in, too, because it's, sometimes these weather changes affect the pets for sure.
Okay, I think you heard the acronym wrong. I said Frank Sierra Alpha FSA account. It's, they take money out of before taxes and put it in an account. They give you a credit card, and you can use that for all your co-pays, and that has to be whatever you put in a paycheck. Like if I put $50 a paycheck, 26 paychecks be like $1,300. So you have to use that $1,300 up within that calendar year. But it's all pre-tax, so you get, in essence, you get about a 33%, discount on all your medical expenses that you have to pay out of pocket. I got a lot of co-pays, and, hold on, my phone's ringing. I'll be right back. W8FU.
Copy that. We'll be standing by. W8RCY.
Oof. One of my guys has been on the clock since 4 a.m. at one of our dispatch centers, which was compromised. Well, I should say it was wasn't compromised. That's a bad word. It was funky and it acted up and it wasn't working. So he got it working. He's on his way in, but he's going to be late. And holy Moses, that guy. I just pulled out of the line of traffic, in the traffic, and then pulled back into the line of traffic he was pulled out of right in front of me. I didn't make too much of a big deal out of it, but it was rather exciting. All right, anyhow, I digress.
It was more like a flash before your eyes, and then your mind caught up to it and said, did that just happen, or am I imagining things kind of a moment, like, did I just see lightning flash before my eyes, or what? Yeah, I've had those moments over the years, people doing crazy things like that. But, so sounds like a small emergency, but it's been averted, and things are pretty much back to normal at that for that situation for you. But, not much new here. You pretty much know my day because I've mentioned it enough times. But you know, my kind of like what my routines are during the week. But, yeah, so all I can say is really for you just to have a great day and hope this situation doesn't get any worse. And on my end, I'm just going to fumble along. Like I said, I've been up on the radio since about 4:30, quarter to 5, and turned on the Wooksan, which is the radio, the Wooksan, Wooks Off radio, and it scans, and that's when I caught this stuff on the Mount Clemens repeater starting up, and it only lasted about 15 minutes. And other than that, though, the radio's been quiet. Anthony, Dakota, myself, and now you. Sometimes when I'm up early, I listen to the Livonia, what is it, KPLW repeater. And what's his name? Joe. ZYQ is on there, and, you know, Joe's everywhere, and he's sometimes funny to listen to. Especially at that hour of the morning, if he doesn't have his coffee in him, he's really funny.
There you go. Well, PLW's got a lot of repeaters. Which one in particular? Are the 2.1, I think it is.
I'm not sure which exactly one is programmed into this particular radio. I know there is more than one, and I think I may have two different ones. One that's in my Motorola that Wally put in may or may not be the same as the one that's on the HT that I'm talking on now, but I can hit them both pretty well, and I believe they're linked as also. But, yeah, that's a strong repeater, and if I'm up early enough in the morning and I start waking up the computer, the tablet, and I forgot to turn on, I'm looking at my tablet right now, and it's sitting on my kitchen counter. I said, doggone, no wonder it's so quiet in here. My music station's not turned on. I powered it up, but I forgot to turn it on. Dope! But, yeah, that's a strong, strong repeater, and hopefully when my next update on my Motorola's get done by Dr. Wally, I will have TJ's repeater on those radios. I have it on this HT that I have because it's an easy radio to program. I can program it on the computer, or I can do FPP on it. So it's just a good repeater to have for sure.
Well, yeah, that one and the double nickel are two monsters of the, you know, on the east side. Then you got the Northville, which is the big boy. That's the 3.1 over on the west side. If you don't have that one in your, you know, it might be a little bit harder to get to, but it's definitely one you'd want. So 3.1, 2.1, that's PLW, and I don't remember the call sign on the Northville. Then the YN. WYWN, the double nickel. I think you probably got that one as well. But those are three very, very premier repeaters. But yeah, you probably wouldn't make PLW's other one. I think it's 2.8, and I think that's much lower and much further west. I don't know that you'd make that one. I know Joe wouldn't make it with his situation, so it can't be that one. And he's got a few others as well, but it's got to be the 2.1. Anywho, I'm going to skip coffee this morning because I know I'm going out in a little bit. I got road work today. And then that will allow me to get into the shop a little bit closer to 7:30 than otherwise I would be.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a good plan. You know, skip it now if you're going to be on the road and you can grab it as you need it or grab a bite as you need it, that's for sure. But, yeah, it is, like you say, like I said, Friday Eve, so, and you got a lot of road work and you'll be outside. But just to wrap up on the point of these repeaters, I have a nephew that lives out in Northville, 6 Mile and Beck area. And I only get out there once or twice a year, and I've never really tested a radio out that far in the last year or so that I've had my ham ticket. I'll probably be going out there for Thanksgiving this year, so I'll make sure to pack a this, at least this H key, because this is the most powerful H key I have, and being 8 watts, and my motor's only being 4. But, yeah, I'll test the range out that way, and I'll look for that repeater out there and see what it has as well. But definitely so, I want to get TJ's repeater into my moto. That's the only one I don't have in my moto. That's going to be on the update. And then the rest of the work on my motos has to be fat finger corrections that Dr. Wally, he knows what he did wrong. He admitted it. And he says, fat fingered it again. And I said, it's okay. You know, like I said, I have the patience and the time, and I understand how everybody's so busy and so on and so forth. And we'll get it done. I know it'll get done. Okay. Well, I will let you go get into the office. Hope you find a parking space today. You know, I heard that's been a bit of a quandary for sure for you and your crew and your team. But all the best. We'll hear you throughout the day, and we'll be listening for radio checks and stuff if you need anything or, you know, so on and so forth. And we'll be monitoring all the other hullabaloo that goes on. So catch up with you later. Have a great day. W8RCY.
Yeah, one word of advice, when somebody's doing tons of free work for you, don't say, you know, they know what did wrong, they fat fingered, they admitted. That sounds really bad and it pisses off people that do a lot of pro bono work. Just say, well, he knows what's wrong with it, he's going to take care of it for me. But, you know, just a tip. I'm not, you know, just giving you a tip there. All right, I just pulled up to the shop. I'm going to get inside and start my day. And see here, where do I get the park today? Who the hell is that? Why are they parked like an idiot? God almighty, they can't even park with stripes. W8FU, after yours.
Copy on the tip and advice. Duly noted file, for sure. You're absolutely right. Have a great day. W8RCY.
Good morning.
What's so good about it?
The sun is up. That's about it. Too cold. I don't like cold.
Yeah, it did feel a little nippier this morning than past days, so I think the Amazon Echo told me it was 33 or something when I woke up, 32, 33, so chilly.
And I got fuel at Marathon in Richmond. 33 cents cash back with my Upside app. So this year I'm going to have Christmas money.
Sorry, phone call. Had to deal with it.
Like me, can't stay off the phone for more than 10 minutes. Everybody calls you.
This one was weird. We had a guy here from Priority Waste said we ordered a dumpster, a 30-yard dumpster. And I said, no, we didn't. Probably the construction guys next door. He said, nope, they didn't. And it says it's for you guys. I said, I'm sorry. I go, we have no need for a 30-yard dumpster. So guy's going to get a hold of the main office and try to figure out what the hell it's all about.
Sounds like they just want to place those dumpsters anywhere just to take away your coffee, your parking spots.
Yeah, I left a nasty gram on that guy's window. We just had the whole parking lot striped so that the construction guys, they're supposed to park in the ones marked yellow, and we park in the ones marked white are exclusive for my people. And first of all, he's parked in the very closest spot to the building. that's Mark White for us, and he's straddling the line, so he's taking up two spots, and I'm like, hmm.
That's why when I stop by, I always park a little bit further away, because those first spots are for certain vehicles of certain stature.
Good morning, Tom. Yeah, so that dumpster was placed, did it get placed on the ground, and was it in a white zone or the other zone that they placed it at?
Oh, no, they never brought it off the truck. I ain't accepting it.
Well, if it was at the airport, you know, the white zone is for loading and unloading only.
Well, the only thing I understand is blue parking spots, you know, for handicapped and disabled people. So I don't know if there's any actual, I don't have any knowledge of any actual things for, like, yellow or white striping. You know, the only one I know is obviously blue. But, it's just, I cannot believe, and even like, say, Sean, how when you pulled in this morning, how trucks just park like over the lines, take up 2-3 parking spots or more. You wonder how people, just what's in their mindset that they just don't care.
Morning, Donald. Yeah, there is no real definitive, you know, markings besides the blue. Well, then you got the red. The red is fire lane. Blue is, whatever we call it, you know, my wife and I call blue chip because she has one. And then, you know, for curb markings, that's different. But for parking spaces, usually they're designated, especially on a, you know, government property.
Yeah, valid point made, but I just don't remember really anything. I mean, you know, when you do driver's ed, which was, you know, 54 years ago for me, road tests or driving tests, you know, you see, I remember seeing questions, because I've not actually taken an actual driving test, paper test when you go in to renew your license, because the last 12 years, my license has just been auto-renew. Matter of fact, my picture on my driver's license is going to be from 16 years ago, and I renew next year, so the picture on my thing is going to be 4 sessions old 16 years ago. But these tests that you take, I don't remember any specified test or marking, you know, markings, colors, except for blue and maybe red. I don't even, you mentioned red for fire lane. I don't even remember seeing really anything colored, striped, or marked for fire lane. So that's a new one on me, and obviously you would know because that's the kind of work you do. Sean, back with us?
I'm going to have to bow out of here. I'm sorry, guys. There goes my other phone. WSU.
Have a good morning, Sean. Don't work too hard today. It's Thursday.
Yeah, it is Friday Eve, and I've already, you know, had some conversations with Sean this morning before you jumped on, Tom. But, as we were talking about it earlier, you know, these, you know, I just don't remember ever taking a questionnaire on a test about, you know, striping colors and things like that over the years. Granted, I have not taken a written test in 16 years because my license expires next year. But, people today, they're just inconsiderate and they don't think. I mean, even the people who, and this is a tough question because not all handicapped people are obviously handicapped. I can actually get a permit for handicapped parking because of my disability, but if you see me move around and motivate, I don't look disabled. But it's just the fact that people that are inconsiderate just park there anyway. I mean, that's the one thing that just irks me. But, you know, with all the work that's being done on the campus where Sean's office is at, to be, you know, not even thinking, it's just like, oh, I'll just park here. you know, it says, you know, for certain usage only or building personnel only, and they just don't care. That's just, I don't even know what the word is to describe it.
Inconsiderate and selfish is what it is. And yeah, if you go to the campus where he's at, or even the college campus, the designated parking is student parking only, staff parking only. I mean, you see the signs, all you gotta do is pay attention.
Valid point. I remember two Macomb County Community Colleges, the one out there on Hall Road and the one on 12 Mile. Over the years that I've been in there, my parents' house is probably just a few miles from the one on 12 Mile. Staff parking was always gated, or not gated, but they had the little swing arm thing, and the staff would have to show their card or slide their card in to get into that lot. And student parking was always wide open, pretty much. Maybe a couple of them had some kind of little, like I said, flip gate or something, the swing arm thing, over the years. But, yeah, again, another valid point made. And it's when you're in an open lot, and I've been around that campus since I was a toddler because of the hospital there, the old Martha T. Berry Hospital, which is, I think, now it's still the nursing home from when I talked to Sean about it. Not much has actually physically changed, but yeah, the campus there is, all the reconstruction is, it's just like I said, these construction workers come in and they get there way before the office personnel start coming in at 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, and all the parking spots are gone. And these people, Sean just shakes his head because they can't even fit between two freshly painted lines their vehicle. You know, they just, the slot is here, and they take up two or three parking spots in the process because they can't park straight. And they just go to work and do their job, and no care, selfish, like you said, and inconsiderate.
That's the problem. I mean, because then when you have somebody, you know, like my mother-in-law, that really knew that handicap spot, she's 82 years old, and she's on, you know, she's physically disabled, needs that spot. And somebody pulls in because they're too lazy to go 6-7 spots down just to get a few things out of the store. So that's, and they're not even handicapped, there's no placards or nothing. The other ones that irritate me are the ones that use somebody else's card for convenience. You know, like me going and grabbing it from my mother-in-law and then putting my personal vehicle just so I can park in that spot. 100% illegal. But there's people that do it. I see it all the time.
In the early 90s, I lost my father in 93, cancer. And my mother was driving him. We had a handicap permit so my mom can get my dad around to places and things, get stuff done, appointments, so on and so forth. And they had the placard to hang up on the rearview mirror. And after my dad passed away, the neighbors that knew my mom told her, hang on to that. You can use it for yourself. And my mom, you know, in 93, was in great health, and she was only, I can't remember her exact age, but she was early 50s, if that. And, or not even 60 yet. No, she wasn't even 60 yet. So it was late 50s, excuse me. But they told her to keep the card and use it, and my mom says, oh, no, 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 and she actually returned it to the Secretary of State saying that, you know, my husband passed away, I don't need this anymore. And the funny thing that struck her funny was somebody at the Secretary of State said, well, just keep it until it expires so you can use it. And she just looked at the person behind the desk and said, no, that's against the law, and you should know that. Now, whatever happened after that, I don't know, but even I don't know what your words are used for that, but it is just, she just left it there and walked out.
Oh, somebody says, oh, I can use this, and grabbed it and put it on their car. Seen that too. It's the same thing with why I don't drop certain things off at donation centers like Salvation Army, you know, or Goodwill. Because you drop off something decent, and if you watch, when they offload on us stuff, looks good, they'll put it in their vehicle. You'll never see it.
Yeah, I did a little bit of work for Salvation Army and the other place, Grace Centers of Hope. I've seen donations get ran, you know, looked through by employees of those places, and before they even see anything, before they hit the floor or anything, and things get sorted out, and it's like, you know, you can buy it once it hits the sales floor, but no, they just take it, put it aside, hide it, and when they leave at the end of the day, they put it in their vehicles and take it home. It's not just clothing, it's items and stuff, you know, like a whole, let's just say, for example, oh, a box of pretty much unused pots and pans. Well, how much the cooking sets cost today? And you can get this for free? Oh, I'm just going to take this. And you're absolutely right. But anyhow, I was just jumping in there real quick just to say good morning. I got to get in the shower. I got physical therapy today. And I thought I'd say hello to you and... you just have a good, you know, have a good day, safe road, safe traveling on the roads, and we'll catch up with you later. Have a good one, Tom. WARCY.
You do the same. Enjoy your physical therapy. I enjoyed it when I had mine, so. All right, stay safe. Have a great day. 73, KCKJO.
WDHKLO.
He almost to work. KCKJO.
Dropped the kids off at the bus and headed to work now. Kind of cut off. I don't know if you lost your repeater or not, but I'm not statewide one if you need ABO.
Oh, no, I'm still here. I'm talking to my coworker, Fred.
All right. Just going to cut off on that last transmission. I'll get a phone call here. ABO.
Yeah, I'll call back out there.
KFA DRC from WD8KLL. Nothing heard, WD8KLL clear.
W8RJD, monitoring mobile.
WD8KLO, the mobile.
WY8M.
W8FU. WD8KLO.
Good morning.
Yes, it is a good morning. How you doing today?
Oh, just out on the road here. Got to head down to Roseville. Got a couple of construction projects in the works down there. Then I gotta be back up to Mount Clemens for a meeting at 2 o'clock. So just punting around, driving around. Sun's finally up, so let's see, 41 degrees. Still brisk, but not a bad day to be out driving around.
Yeah, I hear you that one, Sean. I'm heading your way. I'm from Grand Blanc, but heading your way this morning. Gonna pick me up an amplifier. I found me a Meritron 600 watt amplifier, brand new in a box, and I'm heading down your way to pick it up.
All right, cool. Yeah, brand new in the box. How's that work? I mean, because there's no stores down here anymore. So you buy one and just never used it?
That is affirmative. It's a ham down there. I don't know his call sign yet. I'm going to get it. But evidently he passed, and his daughter and wife are doing almost like an estate sale. But the guy had brand new equipment in the box with the manuals and the receipts stacked up, all kinds of equipment.
Wow, crazy. That's a good deal. So I recently had one where a guy he had like two of everything. You know, he had one that he used, and they showed a minimal amount of use. You know, he wasn't one of the meticulous guys, but he also wasn't a slob like me. So his used stuff was pretty good. But he also, for everything he had, it seems like he had at least one spare, brand new in the box. So it was crazy.
Yeah, I think that's what's the case here, because he has the one I'm getting is a 600 amp, and they don't make those anymore. It's a Meritron, and well, they don't make any of the Meritrons anymore, from what I understand. But I think the one that he was using was a 1500 watt, and he had the 600 watt brand new in the box, not even open. I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta get that.
Well, what'd you get for it, if you don't mind me asking?
$1,000.
All right, so you got a good deal because it's brand new in the box, but it wasn't like a steal. So, but that's fair.
Yeah, she's just starting to list. She had all kinds of equipment, and she sent me a whole bunch of pictures and stuff, but she sent me a list of stuff, but she's selling a Meritron 1500 watt for, it's used, but she's got that on Marketplace for $600, which I think is a good deal.
Yeah, it's a very good deal. So, yeah, that's a very good deal for a legal limit.
So I haven't been down this way in a while. Looks like orange barrels all the way.
Same here. I haven't been down. It's been probably a couple of months, 3 months since I've come down from that way. And there was some construction. I don't remember a crazy amount, but there was a little. It was fast. I was coming actually home from Lansing, and because of all the jacked up stuff they got going on down here, it was actually faster to take 69 into Flint and then come straight down 75. So, yeah, that was about a couple, 3 months ago. Anywho, so it wasn't too bad, but lots could have changed.
Yeah, I haven't been traveling south too much unless I've got something like this going on. But since I retired, you know, I used to drive down there to Rochester Hills at Crooks and 59 every day for 20 plus years when I worked for Bosch. But I was an account manager in sales and automotive, and so I traveled all around to all the auto plants.
There you go. I used to travel all over a lot, like not quite as far as Tom. Tom traveled a little further, but I used to travel like that all over Metro Detroit, and I had Flint, Ann Arbor, and I could be anywhere along the way. And
that was always cool. I always enjoyed that, you know, just being able to be in all these different places. Because there's always some unique restaurant or store or something like that, you know, in some area where it's cool you get by there every now and again. I don't know if I'd like it to be as long of a drive as Tom makes sometimes. He does some hauling and he's got some late days. Now, you know, I'm pretty much in the confines of Macomb County. I don't very rarely venture out of Macomb County, so it's been a whole different thing here. Still get out, not as much as I used to, but when I was a technician, I would get out on the road, you know, daily, but never outside of the county. Now, it's pretty rare for me to get out and do something like this where it's new construction and we're going over designs and things like that.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I used to travel down to Dearborn quite a bit because I had Ford stamping plant down there, and I used to stop at the Dearborn place, the Dearborn Ham there, and pick up Coney dogs and bring them into the plant to the maintenance guys, and they absolutely loved it. But you're right, you know, traveling all over the place, you could stop at places like that, you know, Mexican town or Greek town, whatever. Whatever kind of food you wanted to bring home, some good pho or something like that. We don't have any of that stuff up here, so. Chris, advantages to being down south where you're at, for sure. WD8 KLO.
Well, I think you said pho, fa, if you did. I'll tell you what, if you're down this way, I don't know where exactly you got to go, but, man, if you're anywhere near Madison Heights, I'd send you someplace. Get the pho while you're down here.
Yeah, I used to call on Detroit Diesel, and there was a place called What the Pho. And I used to eat there quite a bit. And I'd never had it before, and, man, I love their, I forget what you call it, some kind of a soup, but, man, it's good stuff.
Well, the soup is the pho, so that's what that is. And you can get, you know, pho thai is with brisket. Or no, the pho thai is with eye around. And I forget what brisket is. Then you can get brisket and round. But most people get the eye around, you know, the thinly shaved ribeye, you know. And that's what's that's the one that most people get. I sometimes get the brisket. I stay away from tendons and tripe and things like that. I'm just not a big fan of the chewy kind of weird parts.
Yeah, you and me both. Yeah, that tripe that ends up on the plate, but yeah, it's good stuff. Hadn't had that in a while. Might have to stop. Pick up some on the way back.
Not how good it would travel. They do package everything separately, so all the vegetables and everything and all the extras, you know, are off the side. You got that raw meat if you get, you know, that. In that case, I'd get probably some brisket because the eye around it is raw. It cooks in the broth. And then the broth will certainly be cool. By the time you get home, you'd have to heat that back up. And then, you know, but it'd probably travel okay if you weren't going to wait too terribly long to eat it.
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times, brought it home and stuff. Brought it to my girlfriend. She didn't know what it was. And when she started dipping down in there, she said, "What's that?" And I said, "Don't worry about it."
And sorry, at Starbucks here, ordering a coffee. I almost ordered food off the menu, but I figured, man, I can go anywhere. Why would I go here?
You should have stock in Starbucks as much as you're visiting them.
Yeah, but I don't spend, you know, more than you would if you went to Tim Hortons or even McDonald's, you know, think a coffee is over $2 no matter where you go. And, I mean,
straight up cup of coffee here is 260 or something like that. And then I get this thing, it's this, it's four shots of espresso. And, but it's a real bargain, and I end up getting it for like $3.19, so. And, so it's a little bit more, but, you know, it's four shots of espresso, so my skin can crawl.
Yep, that'll get you going for sure. Yeah, I'm a big Tim Hortons fan. We just do the pot of the grounds every day, but a couple cups of that, and I'm good to go. So I haven't heard from Jack in a while. He must be busy. I called out for him a couple times.
Give me a minute to deal with this drive-thru. I'll be right back. That'll get a few. You still in here, Greg? WAFU.
WDAKLO. Hey, Sean, what's your repeater? I'm at Hollywood now. Which one should I switch to when I get down further?
Well, if you're running a mobile, if you're not running a mobile, you're going to have a dead spot there. Usually it goes from Holly. It used to be the 2.5, but that's that's compromised right now. So it's going to be the 2.6, the Warren FBI machine, 442.6, 123. You could also try 442.175. I think that's also 123. That's downtown Detroit. You might get either one of those coming down 75. It's hard to say, but you're a little ways out.
Okay. Yep, Warren and Romeo and Rick, and I'm thinking of any of those, yes, right now, yes, but,
yeah, there's definitely a dead area there. You're not going to be able to key any of them up. You know, the first one that you'll be able to get to is probably is Warren. You're not going to get Richmond or Romeo, so Warren is it right now. And like I said, if you've got MI1 programmed in your all the MI CMN repeaters, then Detroit, their Detroit repeater is also a one that may work. But the Warren's your best bet. But if you don't got a mobile, you're going to have to get down, you know, to M59. If you got a mobile, you'll start hitting it probably up around Clarkston in that general area. I think you bend the rope. So, all right, we'll catch you in a bit. I'm going into my next stop here in a few minutes, so probably won't catch you until I'm done with this meeting. So travel safe. W8FU.
WDAKLNAWRO Richmond. That's sounding better.
AWRO. Thank you. Yeah, it's the first trip down north or south here from Grand Blanc area, so I'm just trying to stay on the FBI network here.
There's some popcorn in the back, but you are perfectly readable. You get a chance, I don't know if it's in your machine like Sean was saying, you can try that Detroit one as well. I know Tom has a lot of good luck with that, but it all depends on where you're at. But you're fine right now.
Okay, yeah, I should be getting a little bit better. I'm not even to 59 yet, so very good. I believe it's Tim, correct?
Yes, sir. I think Brian, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Negative. First name is Greg.
That's right. My bad. I didn't look you up here. Yeah, different cool morning. I got to get out there and I postponed doing my leaves, so I think I'm going to have to jump on the tractor and get the mulching going because I hear it's going to rain tomorrow.
Yeah, you and me both. I did it the other day and the wind blew and it looks like it didn't even do it, so I'm with you on that one.
Alrighty, sounds good, Greg. I'll cut you loose now. Safe travels. N8WRO, Richmond, after you.
Okay, Tim, good hearing you out there. N8WRO from WD8KLL will be clear and monitoring on the Warren repeater. WD8KLL, back on the road. KF8DRC from WD8KLL. No copy. KF8DRC, WD8KLL, clear. WD8KLL. KPR.
Station calling, Kilo Bravo 8, Whiskey Tango Alpha.
Kilo Chili 8, Kilo Chili Oscar on the Warren repeater.
The name here is Daniel, KBAWTA. That's one of them.
W8RJD, mobile.
V8FU, KPR.
W8RJD, mobile.
W8FU.
Hey, Sean, what are you up to today? W8RJD.
Hey, what's up, Ryan? Just out and about. Just trying to take care of a few things. Got a couple of these open. You know how it goes. City managers want numbers and figures and promises and, you know, those aren't city guys.
Oh, yeah, I know how that goes. I'm not, me, myself, I'm on my way back to court for the second time today. Just got two more hearings in the afternoon, one at 1 o'clock and then one at 2:30, and then I'll probably be done for the day. Probably not going to do much after that.
Well, there you go. I just left the job site. I got a couple of guys on site trying to work out a place that's been completely renovated, and so they all but have to reinstall all the station equipment. So I just stopped in there, and I'm rushing back to the shop because I've got I have a step one grievance meeting at 2 o'clock. So, oh boy!
Oh, those are fun. Yeah, sometime if I ever make it out to a breakfast, remind me to tell you I had a little story about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, me too. But, anywho. So I'm rushing back up. I'm a little ahead of schedule so I can stop and get some pasties from the Little Methodist Church right there at Gratiot and Cass. I got a couple yesterday, and I didn't hear from RPAD, but WYM, what he thought of them. But I'm going to stop in there and grab a couple more. And then I should be able to get back in time for my meeting, and then hopefully the guys I just left will be back and we can finish up some paperwork. So my day's kind of full. Just not a bad day. Just stuff. You ever been to this Apple Annie's restaurant in Roseville on Gratiot where they're gonna put the sheets in?
WIW.
Say, go ahead to that braking station. I couldn't catch the call sign.
Yeah, it's RPAD, WYM. I'll let you go ahead and answer his question first, and then I'll loop back around.
Were you asking, Sean, were you asking about a sheet on the east side, I think Roseville?
Yeah, there's a little restaurant there called Apple Annie's, and it's been a neighborhood favorite for years, decades, and I guess it's getting torn down whenever the sheets goes up. I just asked if you'd ever been to the restaurant. It's very good, especially soups. They've always got like 10, 12 different soups on, and they're all really good.
Dang, no, I haven't been there. That's going to be a shame if they tear it down. I'll let that breaking, that, I think it was, what is it? Is it WIAW?
Close. WY8M, Wild Youth 8 Memories. So what did you think of the pasty there, Sean?
I'll have to let you know on that because I bought two, and when I saw the size, because I only had $15 on me, and so I got two, and I figured, you know what, if he wants them, I'll just let you have them, and then I'll just get two more today. So I'm going there for my first round today.
I gotcha. Well, it's the pasty I had was better than the ones I've tried locally since the donut factory closed. Not quite as good as the donut factories, but it's certainly at least passable for sure. The only other pasties I've really had recently are those Uncle Somebody's, Uncle Mike's, Uncle Joe's, Uncle Bob's, Somebody's pasties that you see at Cookies and Steiner's and some of the other local places. And I didn't care for those at all. The other station, go ahead.
Sean, let me know how you like those pasties, like, because my wife's been really looking for some. I know there's that place in Clawson, Somebody's Kitchen, I think is the name of it. I don't know if it was Carol's Kitchen or something like that. Sean, do you know the one in Clawson?
Yeah, it's Barb's, and it's a pizza joint, but it's Barb's. It's on Main, west side, south of 14. A little clip south of 14. It's not just south. And as far as I'm concerned, nobody's beat them yet. Those are my absolute go-tos. There was a place in East Point for a while that had some very good ones, but all the ones I've had are good. They're all a little different. It's like, kind of like pizza with me. There's no bad pizza. It's just different pizza. But I'm a little bit more particular with pasties, but I haven't had these yet. These came recommended by Steve, UHG. He helps the crew make them and that. A bunch of little old ladies in a Methodist church on southbound Gratiot and Cass. And they only do it 3-4 times a year, and this is the hunting season run. And so I walked in there yesterday, and they were all piping hot. Today they should have them both hot and frozen, so I might get two again, because I got the exact money that RPAD gave me yesterday for the two I bought yesterday, so I got the same $15, and they don't do anything but cash, so two's enough. I'll get, maybe if I get one ready to warm up tonight and one frozen for later, I'll do that. But I am game to try any pasty in town that I haven't tried. Still searching for that one that beats Barb's.
Well, now you got me wanting to try that Barb's pizza place. You know, I'll let you guys carry on. Go ahead, the other station, WIM. I missed the call.
Yeah, I'll have to try. I'm going to send Melinda over to try that Barb. That's got to be good. How does it compare? I don't know if you've had some of the ones up north, like in the UP. How does it compare to the ones in the UP?
Well, my experience with those is limited. The guy in East Point supposedly had the ones from the UP, and they were frozen. But I don't remember. It's been a while. His were very good. And I don't know if he's the same recipe or same cook or he actually got them from up there frozen, but he had something there. And then Tom, who gets on here, KJO, he brought a couple for me back from the UP. I don't know if it was from the place. I don't know. Is there a the place up there? But he brought me a couple from the UP, and they were good. But I still prefer Barb's. Now, that may be a matter of familiarity. You know, I mean, I'm familiar with Barb's. I like Barb's. Barb's checks all the boxes for me. Oh, and going back to those ones you get in the store, I forget the name of them, but I know the ones that RPAD was referring to. I'm not really impressed with those. I wasn't a fan. So, like I said, so far Barb's. And I think it's a good bar, you know, for you to set. And that's kind of, for me, that's where the bar is.
I always like getting Sean's restaurant review. All of your travels all over the place, always, you're always hitting different places. I always like hearing your take on the different restaurants in town.
Yeah, if you're going to get recommendations on a restaurant, you know, go to the fat guy. I mean, nobody wants to know what the skinny guy thinks is good food.
You know, I will say a lot of the police officers in town, though, they have a tendency to know where all the good places are because, you know, they're always driving around and they're always hitting up different places. So some of the police officers, they know all the good ones.
Yeah, but their favorite ones are the ones that give them the food for free at HTV.
There's a lot of truth to that. Oh, I got some stories there.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, that's a totally biased opinion.
Yeah, hello, John. Yeah, there's also it could be in some cases it's just their, you know, the staff, you know, really understanding. Because a lot of times an officer will walk in, sit down, just get his meal, and he gets called out. And if they take care of them, like they bring them out a fresh one or something and say they understand and all that, that's understandable, and that's good service. And so I could see them preferring a place like that. But there are some that, you know,
Well, I heard some stories, and even their coworkers are kind of like embarrassed. You know, I had one guy who said he would not go to a you know, like the McDonald's at 12 and Mound. He said he wouldn't go there in uniform, and he says he didn't want in any way, you know, because it was so abused. So I don't know if it still is. This was some years ago.
Yeah, I figured let the repeater ID. Yeah, that's true. But my wife I'll tell you, she just loves good pasty, so hopefully Barb is gonna deliver. I'm gonna make sure that she gets out there soon.
Pasties.
You don't want a good waitress.
That's right. Nothing like a nice pasty. Nice full one. Anyhow, I am not far from the Methodist Church, John. That's what we're kind of talking about. There's a Methodist Church, Steve, UGH, he, I always get his last three mixed up. He's been telling me for several years about this Methodist Church. They do pasties couple, three times a year, and this is right now they're doing them up for hunting season. They do hundreds and hundreds of them, and you can just walk in and buy them ready to eat or frozen. Well, you have to wait till day two or three to get the frozen one. Day one was yesterday. I walked in, boy, it smells good. But they're $7 each. I usually buy two and just get $15. It's for a church fundraiser. And yesterday I bought two. Harp had one and one. I wanted one, but I looked at the size and said, I'm going to not let him know I just got two and say, how many do you want? You know, and he said, yeah, they're small, I gotta take two. And so I'm going back today to get my first stab at them on Steve's recommendation. They sure smell good, so we'll see.
Well, very good. And I know there's something about the ones from the UP that I, what is it that they put in there? Is it a parsnip? I think they put parsnips in theirs.
Rutabaga.
That's what it is, rutabaga. Yes, that was something weird like that.
Yeah, that's why my wife won't eat them, and that's what makes them unique, in my opinion. I like the rutabaga, and all the ones that I've had have it. Now, the ones that I had from the UP, they had way too much of it. It was kind of overpowering, and I didn't like the way they had it sliced. It was real thin sliced. It was just weird, you know, and the flavor wasn't bad, but, you know, I like Barb's the way they do it a lot better. They got rutabaga, too, not quite as heavy. You know, so if that's what you're looking for, you know, that could be a factor as well. I thought these Barb's get them just right. You know, and the crust would be, you know, too thick, you know, too dry. I think Barb's gets all the points right. So that's currently my favorite. I'm not saying they're the best. I'm just saying right now that's my current go-to. And I am going to try these ones here at the Methodist Church tonight, maybe. So we'll see. Ryan, you still in there? And then pass it to whoever the rutabaga comment was.
I have to go. I'm in the driveway. But, Sean, where is Barb's? And I will catch you guys later. NHTV.
Main Street, south of 14 in Clawson. It's a little bit more than south, just south 14. It's maybe, I don't know if it's a quarter mile, but it's on the west side, Main Street, south 14. Barge, it's a pizza joint. They got excellent pasties. I've never tried the chicken, not a fan of chicken at all, but the beef are great. And they got the gravy there, too, you can get with them. So, all right, later.
Hey, everybody, I'm at the courthouse. I'm going to head in and see what kind of trouble I can get into. W8RJD, 7-3s, everybody.
All righty. See you, Ryan. See you, John. Was there somebody else in there, the rutabaga?
Hey, Sean, it's Rick, KEWOJ. Yeah, I was just, in case anybody couldn't remember, I just thought I'd throw that in there, the rutabaga. I love pasties, but I'm not a big rutabaga fan. And that uncle that you guys are trying to think of is Uncle Pete's. They have a place on Sashabaugh, right just south of 75, and a couple others. I think in Lake Orion, a couple other places, too. But I'm a big pasty fan myself.
Roger.
All right, I'm here. I'm going to run out there by pasties, and I'll be back. Thanks for that update there. Dalviator.
Yeah, no problem. All this pasty talk got my stomach growling there. But wasn't so far, I'd head over there and get a couple myself.
KEVSI Mobile.
KE8RUH. KZ8V. What's up, Anthony?
What's going on? How you doing today?
Well, I am doing much better than I have been. I'm at the very, very tail end of a 2-week cold that ended up with pink eye at the end of it, which is just disgusting. But it was a viral pink eye, so it's not as nasty as bacterial. I hear that's really disgusting, but I'm good now. Feeling really good. In fact, I'm just pulling up to Lowe's, so I wasn't going to answer, but I thought, you know what? I got to get on here. I haven't been on here, and it's Anthony. I told my wife I'm going to run out and go to the store like a real adult because I hadn't been out of the house in friggin' 2 weeks. What's going on with you? Just heading home from work, hopefully?
Yep, heading home. I got to make a couple stops on the way home, but man, that is a bummer. It's never fun to be sick like that. Especially when it lingers, and then you get something else at the end.
Yep, I was about a day away from being 100% again, and I looked in the mirror when I got up in the morning. Well, first of all, I could barely open my eye. I was kind of crusty shut. I know, that's gross. And then I looked at it, and it was just red. I mean, like, the whole white part was just kind of a goopy red. I'm grossing everybody out. And I went, okay, that's not right. And, of course, it's pink eye. And I figured it's viral because I just got through a virus. But I went to the doc, and he checked it out. He said, yeah, it's virus. So it's all good now. Now I'm picking up some tarps to cover up the outdoor furniture. Looks like the next 4 days might be raining, so I wanted to give the lawn a last cut today and finish up rearranging the garage, fired up the snowblower, and I'll cover the furniture outside and call it winter. Well, not yet.
Yep, it's getting close to that. I think I made my final cut already, but I might try to blow some leaves tonight before it gets too dark because they're talking it's just going to rain for the next 4 days, I think, at different points. And yeah, getting that furniture pulled in and covered up probably is not a terrible idea. I should probably do something like that tonight, too.
You could wait till it's dark enough and just blow the leaves over next door into the neighbor's yard. They'll never know. I have blown them onto the sidewalk and then gone over them with the mower just to break them all down and then put them into those paper bags. Fit a lot more into that way. Well, I'm walking into Lowe's. I'm just sitting here now. So sorry for the short conversation, but I wanted to say hi. So I'll talk to you later, Anthony, for K8RUH, KZ8ZFU.
All right. Great talking to you. Have a good day, and glad you're feeling better. Good luck with the rest of your work this afternoon. I'll catch up with you soon. KE8RUH.
W8FU.
What up, Sean? KE8VSI.
Sorry about that. Got pulled away from the Ray video. What's up, Greggy Pooh? How you doing?
I am doing well. Got lots done around the house today. Did a post office run to return something for my wife. Putzing around the office now, which was a disaster. Now it's only half a disaster, so I'm making headway.
You know, Dave and you and I have to get together for a brunch, for a breakfast soon. Maybe that place up there, what's that one, on Van Dyke, used to be down, God darn it, Travis, is that it? No, I don't know. They used to be down at 14, and we talked about it before. Now they got a really nice place up there around 24, 26 miles, somewhere in Van Dyke.
Huh, okay. There's Marcus, which is a Polish place. That might be what you're talking about. Not sure otherwise, but there's that. There's other ones there, I'm sure. But, yeah, I'm game anytime. I know Dave's been under the weather, but I think he's coming out of it. And, yeah, sounds good to me.
Marcus, that's it, Marcus. Let me know. Monday through Friday, a breakfast, you know, maybe a could even do a brunch or a lunch, but that's something either breakfast to lunch. And that's a good place. Figure out when you guys want to do it, let me know. I'll meet you there. And anybody else?
All right, yeah, because I've been meaning I get some pierogies sometimes at Kroger, and they've not had the ones that I like. So they will have them at Marcus, and you can buy them to go. So that's a good plan. What's your day like tomorrow?
Pretty good. I could make that work.
All right. I'll run it by him, and we'll go from there.
All right, also, just FYI, I've got Monday and Tuesday off, so those are ideal as well. So Friday, Sunday, Tuesday are all really just about any time. I do the Saturday morning breakfast, and I haven't been the last one. I don't know if it's been the last two or last one, but so I do want to make that this Saturday. But learn that. It's all good, but I know it's been a while since Crazy Eights and you and I had breakfast, so the time is now.
Agreed. All right, we'll see if we can make that happen. Looking good for me, looking good for you. We'll just have to wrangle him in. That's easy enough.
Man, he ruins everything.
He's that guy. Oh, no. So are you on your way home?
Yeah, tell him I said that. So, yes, I am. Just starting the trip here. It's 16 in Grosbeck. This is where I usually decide whether I'm going to shoot down Grosbeck and cut, or if I'm going to cut 16 across. And I almost always do 16. Usually always, it's predictable. I've got there's a couple of spots on it that can be a little congested, but it's always good. Going down Grosbeck, just either the mile road I pick or Grosbeck itself, there's always some problem. It's like, ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, it's the pick of the day, which one you want to deal with. And they change every day, too, so you never really know what you're going to get.
Yeah, there's a Forrest Gumpism there. Driving in Detroit is like a box of chocolates.
Yep, exactly. That's true.
other than that, I really, really got to spend a little time. I got two or three outdoor projects. I got to get my fan dipole fixed. It's spun around on one side. And I got my VHF, UHF radio. I guess you and Dakota have been talking on D-Star. So I got to get that antenna fixed. That goes to my 97. I haven't had my 9700 fired up in so long because the mast dropped down, the pin holding it, two sections ago, it dropped down, and when it came down, I had hardline, quarter-inch hardline running, and it kinked it. So now I got to run new cable, throw it back up, and the antenna was questionable on that one. So I got to drop it, put a new antenna on it, get some new coax on it, get my 9700 back on the air before winter, and then I can play around with that with you guys. Get back on sideband. I haven't been on sideband in God forever because that's the antenna going to the 9700. And and then get the dipole fixed, the fan dipole, because I can make it work, but I know it's off. I got to get up there and trim it and all some other stuff. So I got to get up there and do all that before it gets real nasty.
Yeah. Well, you got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Although those are all going to be crappy weather days, from what I'm understanding, it's going to get kind of yucky. And I know Dakota this weekend, probably Saturday, mostly possibly Sunday, he's got that Rowan mast coming. So hopefully he said he's going to get it operational by Saturday evening. So that would be sweet. I'm thinking if everything's done properly on both ends, you two should be able to go simplex.
Probably quick key in a little bit, so leave a little room. Yeah, he and I've been talking about that, and they got one that's shippable, and he's getting that one, the H50 or whatever the heck they call it. And I like mine real well. It's strong enough. Now I usually bracket mine, a couple of foot off the ground, and then just before it leaves, I leave the side of the house. Not very high up, maybe 15 foot, 17 foot, but that's enough, and then it'll freestand the rest of the way, and it'll even hold something like a GP6 or, something like that. So one of them I'm using, that's what it does. It holds up a GP6. And the other one I use for my wire, and that's got two pulleys on it, so I can pull up two different wires if I wanted. I only have one up on it. The other pulley is just free right now. And but that was the thought. And I figured if I could run two, in this plane, and then I could run another different kind of wire in the other plane, if they interacted. I was thinking maybe something for 160 in this plane, and then. The rest of another plane, I don't know, I haven't really thought about it. I run wires usually through 40, and after that I go to something else. But I happen to have 20 on my fan dipole, for better or worse. It is, I've never really played with a wire on 20, so that's all new to me.
All right, yeah, well, now's the time. You've got your last hurrah before it gets too crappy out. So, yeah, he said he's going to sink that thing 42 inches into the ground, cemented in, and I don't know if he's going to have any other support besides that. I'm not sure how good that's going to work. It might. I don't know. Mine has got two clamps on my chimney, so one, 10, 15 feet up, and then the one as high as we could get it on a ladder near the top of the chimney. And then it's good after that. So, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I can get a little bendy at the top, but they're pretty good. I don't know how it's going to work just at the base like that. He can probably throw a few. If you throw some guys on it, he can do anything, right? So if he's willing to do that. What would be cool if he could get a pipe just slightly bigger than the base, than the bottom section, and have that cemented in,
and then just slide it into that, and then that way he wouldn't have to, you know, he wouldn't have to lose, you know, 3+ foot of his mast.
Well, he sent me a picture of a plate with a hole in it, and it may have had a pipe in it. So that may be what he's doing. I don't know. And yeah, I think it'll stand. I don't think it'll fall over and break. It's just a matter of how much moving around it's going to do. And he did say he had like a backup plan for guy wires. So, but you got to start somewhere and at least get that thing up there and see how it goes.
Well, remember, the other thing is if he uses that for his wire can act as guy wires, right? So if he puts up ZS6 BKW, you know, or G5RV / you know, improved or whatever, if he puts up something like that, you can kind of use that, like, as a guy and give you, you know, give you the low bands and then top it off with a, you know, like a, nothing too radical, but top it off with a, you know, a G6, you know, or something like that, or whatever he's going to pop up top there. And then you kill, you know, it's like three birds with one stone. You get your VHF, UHF up there high, you get a wire up there at that point, and that serves as guy wires. So, you know, or at least two, you know, usually you should have three or four guy wires. So if you're going to have two, you might want to consider pulling a, you know, pulling a third or a fourth, you know, in the other directions. But the uppers, it'll be fun to see if it all come to fruition.
Yeah, that would be a good idea if that all came together. Well, I think he's just going to start with he's got the Diamond tri-band, me, KZ Dave, KFADUS Dave, and now Dakota all have the V1000, V's, I don't know what it is. Anyway, it's tri-band diamond, UHF, VHF, and 6-meter with some pretty decent gain stats, and they're all been working pretty good for us. So that's what he's got.
The V2000A. There you go. Yeah, I've seen that one. Is that the same thing as the Comet GP6? Remember that? Do you remember the one that I got from Don? It might have been on the top of your mast, but it's a GP6. Anyhow, I've got one that works, and I'm going to donate it to somebody, but the radome had gotten kind of sun weakened, and the guy had coated it in black or something, and it's fine, but I got the one from Don's in better shape, so I'm going to throw that one up, but it is going to make this one available. But is that the same? Is that Diamond's version of the GP6, as far as you know, anybody? And hello, Dave.
I believe they're very similar. Can't say much more than that. I don't know if they're identical, which way, one way or the other, but I believe overall they're pretty similar.
GP6, V6 meter, KFADUS. I could have the number wrong, but I have whatever the Comet is that does 6.2 and 4.32 or 4.40, and, you know, it has the three radials at the bottom, but one of them has, like, a load in it. So I don't know. Maybe that's a GP15? I'm not sure. Whatever that one is. It's I think it's two-part? I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, that's what the diamond is. It's a two-part, three radials on the bottom, a load on one of those three.
Well, dealing with traffic. How's my signal? I put the FTX1 in my car. The AC radio.
I hear a little popcorn, but you're fine.
All right, I'll turn it up to 4
did
watts.
Did you get the
4 watts
the
going
Uber
in the
one with the PA, or did you just get the field, I guess, or whatever? I don't know how you differentiate.
I got the Optima, but I'm only using the field part of it right now. Brought into my car. I just wanted to see it because I got a little UHF amp. I wanted to see how it worked on it.
And I don't mean to take over the conversation here, Greg, but what do you think? I know you had a 705, did you not? Or didn't you? And if you did, I'm wondering what you think specifically of it compared to the 705. I get it does more stuff, but the things that, you know, aside from those things that it does extra, but I don't even know if you actually had a 705. You might have skipped that whole thing.
Yeah, I still have my 705. I never got rid of it. I don't know. They're two different beasts. And I think the FTX one is very buggy. It'll be good once they get all the firmware issues resolved. So, I don't know. I have mixed feelings with it. I mean, it's functional. You can use it. But if you go look at the forums and everything, people are having all kinds of random problems where you don't see that with the 705.
All right, yeah, the 705 for me has been the rock of Gibraltar. It works like a champ. I really love that radio. I get it. It doesn't have, you know, the most, you know, hardened receiver for, you know. That's the only knock I've ever heard is that, you know, you put them things in a, you know, in a situation like Field Bay or something like that, that they struggle a little bit with decent signals. That's about the only knock I've seen. And I like mine really, really well. I just, it's a great little radio. And but, you know, there's, a couple of the features of that FT whatever, blah, 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 you know, are pretty intriguing. But I just don't know if I could make this switch. I'm kind of all in with ICOM right now. So we'll get Greg's thoughts on the matter, and that'll settle it.
Well, being that I don't have and have not had either radio, my thoughts on the Yaesu one are going to be pretty much what Dave's are. And the 705, I've had experience with both Dave's, and Dakota's had one. Everybody's had one of those except me. But so I kind of know, and Sean's got it. I know a lot about that radio, so you're not going to get any new information from me.
Sell your chunk and get a flex. Be a real man.
Can
yeah, put yourself on a waiting list
that
for like a year.
I can take to the park all standalone, put in my kit. Huh? And I don't have networking, remember, where I'm going. I'm going up into the mountains, going biking. I don't have my phone. I can't get to my anywhere else, so. Huh?
You know, networking. It's got a display on the front of it, depending on which one you get. It's a standalone radio.
All right, I'm going to fit in my backpack, no problem. And run off battery. Cool.
Just don't get the Aurora. That actually needs AC. But yeah, full volt. Comes up full volt on the battery.
Well, all kidding aside, you found somebody that has not warmed up to the whole that kind of radio. I don't mind. You know, I want my radio to be a radio first, and then if it has remote operation, that's secondary. You know, and it seems that he flexes remote primary and local operations secondary. But we're talking about different beasts, and you know it.
Actually, you got to look at the, if you look at the back of a flex, it's got balanced audio input. It's really meant to be on the bench. I mean, yes, most people use a remote, a number of them use remote, but, you know, it's got balanced audio in, and more audio on the back of my flex than, you know, on the back of my
iPhone. Greg, weren't you considering one of those before you wised up and bought a 7610?
Yes, in 2023, or early 2023, I actually had one on order for the longest time, and they kept bumping forward the ship date, and they couldn't really give me a straight answer on anything. And it just felt like I was getting a runaround, and I was itchy for an HF rig. So I ended up with the ICOM 7610, which was kind of the equivalent price-wise and utility-wise and all that. I'm glad I did, just because I liked the knobs and the display. I probably would have got the Mastro thing with eventually for the Flex, of course, at additional cost. So definitely was a good radio I had ordered, but it just never came to be, and I'm completely happy with what I got.
I got to bow out, you guys. I'm at the store. Talk to you later. TFA-DES.
All righty. Catch you in a bit. Anyhow, yeah, I was hot for one for a hot minute. I was really looking at the 6400, I think. And, you know, and then I got to talking to Larry. And, you know, Larry's really into the Flex, or was really into the Flex, or still is. But he went more with the 6700, I think, and said it was a, you know, it was weird because the 6400 looked like the new radio, but it wasn't their best radio. Their best radio was still that 65, 67, you know, whereas the 64 was newer and had, I don't know, it was hard to describe. You know, Fred, which one do you got? I think you got a 6400, don't you?
68.
What in the hell's a 6800? I've never heard of that.
It's a 66 or 68. It's not the, it's the one with the built-in tuner and the 8 places or whatever.
Same form factor as the 64, just it's more competent. I think that might be 66. I think.
I don't remember now. But yeah, it's that family of when they're in the same form factors. But they, you know, there's different model numbers and guts in them in the inside. But they, and I did not get the one with the front panel. So I got, you know, the standalone box because I knew where it was going to live. It was going to be a waste. I've seen, some of the guys, what they'll do is they'll mount the, you know, they'll put the radio at the base of the tower and then run the headers inside, you know. I've seen a number of people doing it for that. So.
Yeah, it's perfect for that kind of situation. I think if I would end up getting that one, I'd probably still be pretty darn happy. It just didn't work out that way. But, yeah, anything where you're going to do it remote, that's definitely the way to go. They're awesome radios.
Yuppers, I'd have to have the Maestro. For me, that would be the thing. The question would be, would I get one with the face panel for when I want to sit in a shack in front of the radio and then get a Maestro for, you know, when I want to be sitting in my recliner upstairs or something like that, you know, that would be the idea. But then again, you can take the Maestro down to the shack, right? And then, you know, you can, you know, why have the, and then you don't even have to have necessarily front access. You know, the Flex can be buried somewhere, you know, just as long as you can get the back for connectivity. And you know, the Maestro can be sit center up on your in your shack. Or go with you upstairs and just, right? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the Maestro, the front panel is really no different. Or is it? Is there more, is there more stuff on the actual front panel version that the Maestro doesn't cover?
No, Maestro is like the front panel, only, you know, an inch thick. So... Oh, for fuck's sake, people. Oh, Christ. Yeah, and I actually saw a, or my photo of my area set up. My maestro is like right in front of my keyboard, so that when the shed gets tore down, I'm gonna move the base of the flex to the house, and it'll go on the rack to my left over my shoulder, so it'll be out of the way. And that left stuff on my desk, you know, it's just gonna keep the maestro display up on the head.
Yeah, that would be cool, taking that thing around your house or even out of the house. And if not, though, with the software, you know, you can put it on a laptop, too. Although it's not knobs, it's still controllable.
You know, as long as that's, like, for me, you know, some people prefer it. I know Larry prefers that. He doesn't even have them. His is remoted. He doesn't have a front panel on it, and he doesn't have a maestro anymore. He got rid of it. He does it all from the computer, and I see the benefit of that because you can completely customize the environment. On the other hand, you know, I do like having a unit, you know, that I'm actually manipulating. So I'd have to have the controls, and probably could forgo them on the radio, just get the maestro, and if I were going to go that route. But I'm going to be, you know, this is probably silly, but one of the things that scares me about the Flex is it's just so, to me it seems like, okay, I want to make sure I'm clear here that I'm not saying this is the case, but it seems like it's a computer, and it just seems, computers to me are always glitchy in the radio environment, and it's just more complicated, and it's like it's going to be, you know, anything that breaks on it's going to be thousands of dollars, and it's just going to be something I'm not interested in dealing with. But honest to God, some of these new radios, any of them, they ain't any easier to fix or any cheaper to fix. I just got this feeling that if I had a 70 610, I think it'd be more long haul than a Flex or an Anon, you know. But that could be wrong. I could be completely wrong on that. But, yeah, the computer control stuff is not my cup of tea, but that's a nice auxiliary. You know, it's like, you know, to have that also is very nice. Because, you know, you're at work and you decide, you know, to bugger off mentally for a little bit. You could log into your stuff from work. Why not?
Sorry, I'm watching traffic here. I'm trying to get on the 696. The filtering on it and the processing and CW, the auto tune feature like I had on my 7300 is now on the Flex. So like they're finally doing software like that updates. So I mean, when the shed gets tore down up north, Mom and Dad can build the cabin. The Flex is coming, the base is going to kind of come home, and I'm just going to have it at the house, but I'm going to put it up in the rack. It's just that, you know, it's a 100-watt radio with the AC tuner built in, 12 volts, you know. I don't have the display version on the front of it. That's the only difference. You put the display on, it's like having the Meister on the front of it. So, but frequency-wise, filtering-wise, yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, anyway, as I said, I'm with you, Sean. Love the knobs and the nice big screen on the 7610 right in front of me. It's right above my keyboard. But on the other part of that, I also have a 3-monitor computer set up, and it's constantly hooked up with the software as well. So depending on what I want to adjust or how big of a waterfall I want to see and stuff like that, I actually control the radio with both the computer and the knobs. Kind of neither one of them is favored. I mean, I go between the two quite often. So got best of both worlds right in front of me. So the guy, I've got a Macintosh, as you know, so the guy that wrote the Flex software is the same guy that wrote the software I'm using on the 7610. It's not exactly identical, but it's functionally and visually kind of the same.
Right. Well, I'm in no market for no HF equipment at this point. I'm happy with my lowly little 7300. It's all a guy like me needs. I just don't do that much with it at this point to warrant much more than that. They'll all get down on 75 phone and slug it out with everybody else equally well, where filters and selectivity and adjacent channel and all that stuff is digging out the weak one. Those things don't exist down there. Down there, it's just how much amplifier you got. But anyhow, I digress. All right, I just pulled up at home in the driveway. I'll listen out, and then I got to get the trash out and get inside and figure out what's going on. W8FU.
Yeah, if you got money, if you're looking for an HF rig and want to buy one and be done, get the 7300 and be done with it. That's a great all-around rig for that. I love mine. You got a few coins in your pocket and you want the tip thing out, flex or everything else, you junk. At that price, when you're in that price range, let's put it that way. Alright, get on 696W.
All right, enjoy your evening, Sean. yeah, the 7300, honestly, that would probably be all I need. I will be getting the Mark II for my POTA. I'm switching from the Elecraft when it comes out. And that's, you're right, both you guys are right. Really all you need. So, but I like bells and whistles, so I got what I got, and I got lots of bells and whistles. Anyway, KE8VSI, I'll be monitoring. Fred, you sound like you're like south of home. You got a ways to go. You're not in your normal area.
I want to put somebody's balls in my mouth. I'm coming down to get some balls for my mouth.
All righty then. Not sure what that means, but okay.
Sean knows what it means. Sean, you want some salty balls in your mouth? Oh, wait, you're out doing the trash can.
No, I was listening out, so I'm still here with the door open, ready to step out. But what's on today's menu? Is he actually got salty balls today, or has he got something else?
Salty balls, spaghetti and meat, smoked spaghetti and meatballs. Michelle's working 2 to 10, and I was told to come down because she wanted Bob's balls in her mouth.
Always a fine plan. All right, I'll let you go then. I had some other comment, I can't remember what, but it's not important. All right, catch everybody in a bit. W8FU.
Not looking forward to how to drive home, however. So, all right, WFS.
Hey, Fred, are you still there? Okay, Pierre. What about you, Sean? Still here? Okay, Pierre.
NADBF.
Ooh, are you rolling late today? Or right on time? I guess I'm not sure.
No, right on time. I called my dad when I jumped in the truck asking about the, what he thinks the best way for me to mount that thing to the house is, because I'm going to have to. I don't want to deal with guys. And, just trying to determine how I want to go about it.
Oh, man, I had a couple of really good brackets that may have worked, but I threw them out. but they sell them just for that mast, and depending how far away from a wall you are. So if you're choosing to do that over guy wires, then, yeah, you're going to want the brackets that go to your wall.
Yeah, I ordered the Easy Up ones instead of the Roan ones because they were $40 instead of $120, and they're all galvanized steel, so hopefully they hold up. I don't see why they wouldn't. But I ordered 18-inch standoffs, which should get me out of my soffit and have plenty of room. And then I've got the plate that I'm going to concrete
into the ground. I don't know if I'm going to do a cookie or a pad. It says a pad, but I don't think it really matters either way. It's really just the weight and stabilizing it from shifting around.
All right, yeah, those 18-inch ones, I had two of them. Dang it, I should have held on to those. I put them to the curb. That's too bad. But all right, well, you got them on order. And mine, on the bottom of it, it's just this tiny, not tiny, but it's just a little plate that fits over the end of the pole. And so it swivels, like, in one direction so I can lean the tower or the mast over so I can unanchor it from my chimney and lean it over to do any maintenance or whatever I want to do on it. And that's just got four of those, I don't know, concrete bolts, I guess you call them, going into my stamped concrete patio. And that works just fine, you know, between that and the ones on the two on the chimney. It ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, I'm not super worried about, like, the mast going anywhere, especially the bottom. Once it's strapped to the house, it's really got nowhere to go. So what I think I might do is I might just take a Home Depot bucket and sink it into that plate and then bury that. I mean, there's no way. That's 80 pounds. It's not going anywhere, plus when it's in the dirt. But I will not have the convenience of maintaining the antenna that way. I'm going to have to actually drop the mast down, which is not a big deal. For as much as I plan on having to touch it, you know, it's not like I'm going to have an HF antenna up there. I don't have anything planned, at least, not yet. It's not tall enough for anything or heavy-duty enough. I really just want a good UHF, VHF, and now I guess 6 meters up there.
Yeah, I think that'll work, the bucket. I think that you're absolutely right. It ain't going to go anywhere. And I know what you're saying about the HF, but it wouldn't hurt to hang a pulley up there and hang some paracord through it and just tie that off on the bottom in case you ever want to pull a wire up there just for fun because you can. I mean, you know, that's not a bad idea. The one I got came from Professor Don's house or his estate. And he had, you know, those concrete runoff things you put under a gutter? They're about 2 feet, maybe 2.5 feet long and 8 to 10 inches wide. You just stick it under where the gutter water flows out of a gutter spout, and it kind of gets it away from the house. He had his anchored to just one of those sitting right up next to his house. And then those two 18-inch brackets that got it over his soffit. And that's it. So I think your bucket's going to be more than enough.
That's kind of my thoughts, too. It's not that heavy. It's 34 pounds. It's 1.25 inches. It's going to be 42 feet with the antenna. So it's not like it's some crazy heavy. I'm not putting a Yagi up there or anything. So I think what I'm going to do is like 15 foot up, put a bracket, and then have the bucket, and I don't think, if I have the bucket, I really don't think I need to do anything down low. So halfway up, put a bracket, and then the bucket at the bottom, that should be more than enough to hold that thing in place.
KE8VSI. Yep, all right, sounds good. Yeah, you got a couple days till it arrives to mull all this stuff through your head. And then you're going to go nuts when you get it. Just, it's a lot of busy work. It's, you know, it's going to take a while. Take your time, do it right, and I think you're going to be happy.
Station. Yeah, the worst part is I got to wait till Saturday for the plate that I got to concrete and set, and that's the only thing that I'm going to have to sit and wait and stare at. So I get the quick set, quick creep, but... I got to wait on that, and then I'm not looking forward to re-terminating Elmar 400. I hate doing that. Station breaking, go ahead.
Thanks so much. I won't keep you too long. I just hooked up a hex beam in a vertical position, and I'm over here in Windsor. VHR is my call sign, and I'm just wondering whereabouts this repeater is and how I'm sounding over there, and then I'll let you go, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, first, which
frequency are you on? Because you're coming into a link system, and I am currently in Romeo, which is, I don't know, about 30 minutes southwest of Port Huron.
Okay, I wasn't aware that this repeater was a link system 442.175, I believe.
Copy, that's the KC8 LPS machine, and that is somewhere in Detroit. I do not know the exact location.
Okay, I appreciate it, my friend. I appreciate the radio check, and we'll let you go. And I'm just across from Detroit, so that's not too far of a distance. I'll have to try another repeater. And thank you guys so much. VE3-273, and have yourself a good evening.
You're welcome. No problem. I was going to say that's not much work for that Yagi. I'm trying to think. Try the KC8 UMP machine up in Mount Clemens. And then if you want to go crazier, there's the 442-225 machine, which is up in Richmond. Those are pretty easterly, but they're getting their way up north if you really want to try to stretch that thing.
Okay, appreciate that. 442.225. I'll definitely give that a shot. And it's more in the northeast, did you say?
Yep, that one's in Richmond. If you go to, Greg, what's the FBI website so you can look at all these different machines and see if you can hear us?
One second. Let me see. I think you're one of the gentlemen I talked to on the 2-meter sideband net in Windsor there. Let's see. I did the dashboard. K8FBI. That's Kilo 8 Frank Bravo Ida .servebeer.com. That'll give you all the linked repeaters.
Greg, I shorten that. K8FBI.org is all you need now.
That's K8.
USL, K8FBI.
K8FBI, you mentioned something. I didn't quite get that, I'm sorry. I was messing around with my phone here trying to get my notes opened up. K8FBI is what I got.
Org. K8FBI.org. O-R-G.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you so much, gentlemen. I appreciate your help. I'll definitely check that out and figure out where these repeaters are. Thanks again. 73D382. Have a good evening, and thanks again.
Wait, Greg, is that
yep,
a 2-meter, Greg?
Yeah, Greg, I shortened it, k8fbi.org.
And what you'll see there is you'll see the k8fbi stuff at the top of the page. Then down toward the bottom, you'll see the Central Michigan stuff, the MI1 network. And they have their own page, but if you want to see, you know, if you're down in southeast Michigan, mostly on the FBI network, and you want to see everything, that's the place to go. So, all right, anyhow, I'm still taking out trash. W8FU.
Thanks again. I'll try the 830 net tonight as well with the vertical position, 13B2, and see how I do with that. And we'll take it from there. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. E3RD2.
Greg, if that's the guy from the net the other night, I'm pretty sure that's who I was able to hear.
Yep, I believe so. Yeah, the one that I said had a beam. So it looks like he's trying vertical now. So that's cool. That'll be helpful. I bet he could hit Richmond repeater no problem from there. He's got a pretty good signal, at least on VHF coming to me, which I'm not too far off of that. So, and thanks, John, for the new URL. It brings me to the same thing I had, but much easier to rattle off.
Oh, it's got me so excited to get that mast up in the air and try all these new things.
Yeah, for sure. And then you got to, don't forget to put your, slap your Mesh-tastic note up there.
I don't even have any more Mesh-tastic stuff anymore.
Yeah, mine's still out there up high on a tree. and should still be running, I guess. I haven't logged into it in I don't know how long. So I do want to get one of those little weather stations, though. I might put that on mine. That would be kind of neat.
That's
not a bad idea. And this is the gentleman who has my mesh casting equipment. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a really good node in Flint, but apparently it needs to be updated. It's got awesome coverage, but it's not patching any traffic. And I don't know if Fred's willing to climb a tower and work on it or not. It'd be nice if we could get that one going again.
Yeah, I know that one went up there at the time. Didn't know it's no longer there or not working now. Too far away for me, but yeah, it was cool. I know they put a bunch up in some cool places. I just don't know the current status of them. Anyway, I got to step away for a bit. You guys can chat. KEAVSI.
That is good timing. I am pulling into my driveway right now, so I will catch you guys later at 8 p.m.
All right, I'll be out here for probably half an hour. KCHRUH.
KEHRUH.
If you're at a Q, Victor Alpha 3, Romeo Delta, Quebec, calling CQ, we're standing by. Alpha 3, Radio Delta, Quebec, calling CQ. Victor Alpha 3, Radio Delta, Quebec, calling CQ, we're standing by.
K8RUH, calling station, how you doing?
KD8RH, I believe that was at the call sign, I'm not too sure. But I'm just testing out my my beam I just put up, 13B2, in a vertical position from Windsor over here in Windsor, Ontario. My name is Rick. My call sign is Victor Alpha 3, Radio Delta Quebec. It sounds like I'm reaching the repeater, okay, QSL.
Hey, Rick,
Nate here,
Anthony. You are coming in. There's a lot of white noise, a lot of background noise. You're coming in relatively clear, but it's not clean.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, you're hasting a little bit over here too, but 135 miles north from Windsor, Ontario, that's pretty good for not having very good conditions. So I appreciate the report. I'm very happy to hear that I've reached 135 miles at 50 watts.
What repeater are you trying to hit?
42.225, I hope, and that's the one I'm hitting.
Okay, there's a, some of the repeaters around here are networked, so I'm on the FBI repeater in Warren, Michigan, which is most definitely not 135 miles from Windsor. So just wanted to be sure that you weren't hitting the repeater that I'm on, thinking it was 135 miles away.
So he's on the Richmond repeater. So, you know, what is that, 32 miles north? So it's probably more like between, you know, 30 and 40 miles north of you there in Richmond, Michigan.
Okay, I appreciate that there. I'm looking at a repeater book. It says 135 miles, so maybe I got a different repeater. But it's not bad for 30 miles, I guess. But I appreciate the letting me know that I'm not doing 100 miles, that's for sure. So I appreciate that. Thank you. But it seems to be working anyways.
Yep. Thank you for that, Sean.
Yeah, I figured you were driving, and I had the dashboard up, and I saw where he was coming in. So, you know, it's a good haul, but not that great. And if you were looking to work this system, we got one, a machine right downtown Detroit at 442.175. So you could probably back monitor yourself on 442.175 on an HT. You can see how you're doing.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Do you hear the queue, and have a good evening. And yeah, we're going to play around here a little bit and see what that distance is.
Was that for me, Dean?
All right, it was good talking to you. We'll catch up with you soon. This is KU8RUH.
7-3.
Sean, have a good night. I'll try to get on the radio in the morning and chat with you. Morning drive.
All right, I got to get to things. I just walked in the door here. I just thought I could clarify on that. So, anywho, got things to do. WNFU.
Making progress on this node thing. I finally got it to work like it's supposed to. But I went to the next stage. When I work it internally on my network, you know, my internal network, it works fine. But if I come out from outside and get routed through my router, it won't register. And do you know what that might be about?
Yeah, I thought that's where we left it last, and yeah, I have no clue.
The issue I had before was keying the transmitter when connecting, but I got that straightened out. But now, you know, once I got all working internally, I tried to go outside, and I just wonder how would it even know if it's coming from inside or outside if it's being routed? Comes in with an internal IP after it goes through the router, so weird.
It's working internally but not externally. I mean, it might be a hairpinning thing where when it's outside it needs to find the natural path back through the internet, whereas if when you're internal you have to define it on the LAN, otherwise it gets into this thing, it's a term called hairpinning or something. You're getting into an area where it's, I'm real shaky, and so I can give you tips, or I could wet your whistle with these terminologies and stuff, but I don't have the answer.
Okay, I never heard that one, hairpinning. Well, maybe that's what's going on then. I don't know. It's my last hurdle. Once I figure that out, I'm where I want to be. So, all right, just thought you might have an idea. It just doesn't make sense to me why it would know one's coming from an internal source versus an external. Once it goes through the router and it's converted or NATed, how would it even know?
Well, it gets into, how are you finding it internally? Internally, there is no provisioning, or I wouldn't say provisioning is the right word. There's no registration or anything like that, so you have to literally tell it where it is on your internal 10.0 or 192.168 network. You have to literally define it there because it's no way for it to know where it is. So now you're outside the house and you're in the world. You're no longer on that network and you're telling it to find a non-routable address, and it's going to the list when you ask for that particular node number, and it's saying, oh, that node number is at 192 or 10 dot and says, I can't get there from here. That's non-routable. It's going to be something like that. But again, I'm throwing things out there. IT-based guys are probably laughing, going, what an idiot.
Yeah, well, I put in the actual physical public IP and then colon in the port, and then my router sees that and sends it to, converts it to an internal IP, and it's still not working, so, but, wait, you just made it give me a thought, though. That might be what the situation is, because I think I do have it specified somewhere where the internal node is coming from. Ah, maybe that's it. I'll have to research that.
Yeah, in order for it to find it on the internal network, you have to spell it out. So when you say, I want to go to node, 1999, it doesn't have a clue what that is. You can't look that up. There's no registration server. There's no DNS lookup or on that. That's an internal unregistered node. So you have to spell it out. So if it's working internally, you've spelled that out. So now you're on the outside trying to get in, and you say, I want node 1999. It goes to the list and says, I can't get there.
Yeah, maybe it's that registration statement. Maybe it's got to have the actual local IP.
Yeah, I don't know what, I kind of think I know where the direction your problem's going is, but the problem is, I don't know the solution. If you here's one way you can try it. Just comment out the line that tells it where it is internally, and then go to find it externally, and maybe then it works, or something. I don't know if there's a way. Maybe you can set up two nodes, two private nodes, or both doing the same thing or something. I don't know if you can do that. One is from when you're calling for 1998. It's looking for your DNS or your DDNS or whatever it is you're using to get back home. And then the other, 1999, which accomplishes the same thing, maybe that one is internal and it goes to a list and it says, oh, that's at, 192.168.1, 125 or something, So anyhow, hopefully I've given you enough, breadcrumbs to lead you down the answer trail.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Okay, give me something to try. All right, I will see what happens. Thank you. We'll talk to you later. WAFU, KPR.
No problem, and hopefully you're writing it all down so that the next time one of us has this problem, Phil can go, oh, yeah, I know what that is, because I'm really bad at that, which is why we're here. All right, later, WAFU.
W8FU from N8WRO.
What up, Tim?
Hey, Sean, we're preparing for the net tonight, and just curiosity, something looks odd with the 7.2 dashboard. If you get a minute, can you take a look at it? It looks like where we would normally land if we reconnected. It's not there anymore.
Yep, nothing I did. I don't know if Fred did or what, but nothing I did. It's definitely different, and I can't explain why that would be.
No issue for tonight, of course, because we are disconnected, so we're not going to bug anybody, but... I think the latest marching orders were to reconnect on Sunday, if everyone agrees. We were going to plan to reconnect for the state net. But I just thought I'd bring it to your attention. Dave's working today, so I let him know and let you know. And we'll to be advised, I guess. I appreciate it. NAWRO.
Yeah, there very well may be a note on that somewhere that I missed. Now that it's not connected on a regular basis, I can see where, you know, if there's nothing preventing you from connecting whenever you want or don't want. All it is there used to be a button to go to look at the Central Michigan stuff, and there used to be the Central Michigan stuff showing up on the bottom. So clearly, with it's clearly been taken out, but that doesn't change a thing. You're still good to go. You connect up for the net, you disconnect, and the net's over. Not a big deal.
Oh, I copy now. If that's the case, it is not a big deal. That's fine. Just getting about 4 o'clock on Sunday, my instructions were to reconnect. And as long as it still reconnects, we're good.
Yeah. That's just a little feature that we did, just so that. But if we're not normally connected, there's really no point in having their stuff up on our screen. I could see the cleaning that's up, you know. Used to be we were kind of a quasi-affiliated, and, you know, it's quite clear that we're not quasi-affiliating anymore. So I could see where they would want that, well, then clean it up. If they want information on that, then go there, send them there. But, I understand. This is, somebody probably came in, cleaned it up, there we go. So that's probably the way it's going to be now. So it's okay. All of our stuff is there. Everything we care about, you can see all of our nodes and portals. And if you connect to it, it'll show up in the top one. It'll say we're connected out to that particular node. And that's really all people need to know. And then you'll have to send them over to Central Michigan, you know, if they want to actually see the repeaters that are additionally connected.
Understood, and I will pass the word. Greatly appreciated. Thanks, Sean. NAWRO.
WAFP. Enjoying his meat yet, or are you waiting till you get home?
Oh, I'm waiting till I get home. Holy hell, I got there was 12 people still in line to order, and he was doing, you know, he does that where he gets 4 or 5 and then does batches them. So there was 4 or 5 people waiting for their, you know, plus 12 people in front of me to order. There's 25 people in line right now. He's not going to have enough food, I don't think.
Yeah, since he's gone kind of limited time only, you know, people got to hit while the iron's hot, baby. It used to be every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but now he's throttled that back a little from what I read, and so people are probably champing the bit when he's open, so there's that.
He averages 1 day of service a week, but yeah, like, you know, I got 2 dinners, you know, for me and Michelle. I was going to get some meat chips, because Michelle, like, wanted some meat chips, but he was out of meat chips, so I just got the 2 dinners. But, you know, every order was at least 2, 3, 4 dinners. So, I mean, they're big orders that he was doing.
Roger, has he got any help in there? Is he swinging it all himself? Because that's a lot of work.
Nope, he's swinging himself. One man band.
Right, you got to have the right person. I tried to help out a few times. I probably made things worse. Kirsten, when she was there, she was a OG. You know, she made his life easier. It's hard to find the right, you know, the right combination of skills, personality, all that stuff to, you know, make, to know his stuff and get out of the way. So, I know he's tried a few different ones over the, you know, a few years back. I don't know about the last couple of years, but a few years back he had tried a couple of different and with, you know, mixed results.
No, exactly. Ooh, look at that moon over there. Ooh, excuse me. Well, and this will be it. The land got sold, and he's got to be out sometime first of next year, I think, is what it said. There's a developer that bought the land and is going to build something there, so yeah, he's got to move the trailer.
Yeah, it seems like that's been on the verge, you know, for a while, at least a few years. So I never thought about it, until just now, but I'm actually kind of surprised it didn't happen before now. But yeah, there's been a few people who've had their eyeball on that square.
I was going to say, yeah, there's a few people that have talked about it, but this one actually went through and did it, it looks like. So, and I think he's got the date. I think he just didn't tell me. He didn't tell me. I know it was in the spring of 2026, so. But he's been working on his printing laser business, you know, ink printing and all that stuff, stickers, shirts. Promotional training and all that, his wizard business. So he's been really working on getting that going, obviously, because of the barbecue, you know, running it on his own. I know he's just doing one service a week, but it's a lot on him.
Well, it ain't just the service day. You know, the service day is brutal. You know, sun up to sundown and then some. And, you know, but, you know, there's the market day and prep day, and you know, even one day a week, you know, is 3-4 days. So, yuppers, I'm sure you'd rather have some other gig without moving back into the IT world. I know he doesn't want to do that.
Come to the dark side of IT. Come on down. I was getting chilly, but he had the little fire thing going. After about standing for 45 minutes, I finally sat down, but I was far enough ahead to the front of the line, and I'm like, you know what, I just, and everybody in line was all talking, so I'm sitting down, my legs were shot, but, I'm like, when I was coming down, I was like, I am not looking forward to driving home because, you know, the way the backup was on 75, so I'm sure I'll hit it still because it's only 6 o'clock, but yeah, like, I'm not in a rush to get too far home. Michelle's not off till 10, so I don't have to have dinner to her till then, so.
Well, I bought a pasty from, there's a church right downtown Mount Clemens, right at Cass and Grosbeck, or Gerashit, on the southbound side. And that church, they do pasties like 3-4 times a year. And they got a big one this time of year, you know, for deer hunters to take them up with them. And another ham gets out here every now and again. He had been telling me about it for a few years now, And I just, for one reason or another, I either, you know, it comes and goes, or I don't get by there or whatever. And this time I got by there. I went by there yesterday, and I picked up two of them. I was just going to get one for myself, and then my buddy called and said, hey, grab me one. So I did. But when I looked at the size, I only had enough to buy two cash. They were cash only. I only had enough cash for two. So I bought two of them, and then when I got there, I said, you know what? He's a big boy. You know, I could see two. So I didn't let him know I only had two. I told him, I got tons. And I said, how many do you want? So he took two. And then So I had to wait till today. So I got two today, so I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to have one of those homemade pasties from the church right by work and see how they are. And I'm just here in line at Walgreens. I got to pick up a script for Mama. And I might just go kitty corner from here to the BT with the Beauchamies and pick up a couple of slices of pizza for it and call it a night.
Chevy pizza slice. I had one of those in a couple months. Stop by the one on the corner south of the plant. Then I go over to the park, my grandma's park, Pavilion Mary, have that. But so the next time you're up in my neck of the woods, across the street from Halo Burger there on Hill is King Arthur's Pasty. Yeah. You can buy them, they sell them, you know, hot, fresh, and ready, or cool and ready. But they also have freezer packs. You can buy them for the freezer and such. And they make really good, couple different styles, too. So, but it's right across from Halo there in that strip mall, little strip mall thing right over across from Halo there.
All right, yeah, I'll keep that in mind because I've been kind of on a pasties of Michigan tour here trying to try all the ones that are recommended. I've not had a bad one yet. I'm kind of used to, and I like the ones from Barb's down here in Clawson. I think they do a excellent benchmark, and I've not found one better, but I've had some pretty damn good ones. There's this little bakery. I got to get the details on it. I don't remember where John told me it was. John got me these ones from this, I think it was a Serbian bakery. And those were really good, too. They were different. And then Tom brought me a couple back from the UP. And those had a little bit too much rhubarb, and I didn't like the way they sliced it. And they sliced it really thin, so it was like scalloped potatoes. That was kind of weird. But they were tasty, you know, so a little too much rhubarb for my liking. Or is it rhubarb? Yeah. And I haven't had these ones yet. So, but you probably heard us talking about this. So I'm game. Somebody knows another spot, point me in the direction. I'll be up there at some point. Maybe, I think next week I got to go to Diamonddale. So maybe I'll, if I do the northern route, maybe I'll do that.
Not Diamonddale. I would hear anybody want to go to Diamonddale.
Yuppers. Now this might be my last for the Auxcom. I don't know. We'll have to see. I say I'm going to retire next year, end of the year, but maybe, maybe not.
You know, if you retire, you're not going to be on the Christmas card list anymore when you retire, finally.
That's right. Hello, Tom.
S-A-G-I-C. I'm about to pull up at my family house, but if you're going to Diamonddale on the west side there, take 69 East, you know, towards that way, but when you come back, definitely do not go, or going west is fine. Coming east, slow as molasses, one lane, 15 miles full of construction.
S-A-G-I-C.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Fred. Hello, Sean. How's everybody? How's the Fred doing?
Oh, fine. Driving home in traffic. Coming up, finally up 59. But the worst, I think, is yet to come. Yeah, hello, Jack. Haven't heard you in a while.
We miss you on the breakfast again. I hope you'll make it again. Maybe in the summer coming up. John, good talking to you. We'll take care. Everybody take care. Have a good evening. KFADIC.
Okay, Jack. We'll see ya. And, yeah, I miss breakfast. I plan on being there this Saturday, so... So we'll do that. And Tom, hey, where'd you get those pasties from that you brought?
Pasties were from Leo's, L-E-H-T-O-S, that's Lima Echo Hotel, Tango Oscar, Sierra, Leo's. And it's just west of St. Ignace. So go over the bridge and then... I forgot what freeway it is or road west. If you just map it, it'll take you right to it. It's a little itty-bitty place.
Okay, well, I don't know if somebody, you know, claims to be the, you know, the Nirvana Mecca or whatever the hell of pasties up in the UP. I would imagine there's some place in the UP that has got the claim to fame. Is it Lado's or whatever you're talking about? I wouldn't know. But, yeah, we've been talking pasties here.
I just know I'm a gravy guy. It's the best thing.
Yeah, Lado's UP has been around since 1946. And Esposito's is the other one. They got two places, one in St. Ignace and one off of the same freeway that Lado's is off of on the north side. And it all depends on your taste. To me, I like Lado's. It's got the rutabaga, the onions, the chip beef, with lots of gravy, if you want it.
Down the north, isn't it on the north side of US 2? Just outside on the west side there?
The north side of 2 is Esposito's. The south side of 2, on the west side of the bridge, is Lado. That's a little shack. That's what it is, but they make them right there, literally, as you're ordering them, they're coming hot out of the oven. It is, WANFU says, alrighty then. I gotta get inside. My dog is licking the window, waiting where daddy is not inside yet. And I got a big old bottle of cranberry juice I gotta bring in too. So I'll say 73 to you guys, and I'll be monitoring inside.
All righty, Tom, catch you later. And I would think that you know, the ground zero for pasties would be somewhere more over by, you know, by the Keweenaw, you know, where all them Finns were mining the copper back in the 1800s. But what do I know? You know, I know they're from the UP, but we'd have to ask Lance. He's you know, those are his people.
That's true. Those are his people. Where is Lance? Or I heard him earlier. Did I hear him earlier? No, I heard him this morning after he dropped the kids off. I remember that.
Yeah, who knows? But my wife's aunt, they're from all up there, and they might be Swedes or Finns or one of them, Norwegian, I don't know. I think she might be Swede, I don't know, but they're all from up that way, so maybe she has an opinion. I've never asked. Oh, and I'm deaf definitely a gravy guy, too. Got to have the gravy.
Yeah, the ketchup people are just,
Very little I like ketchup on. Very little. French fries sometimes, not always. And every once in a while I'll take a hot dog with ketchup, mustard, and onion. But that's probably like the third or fourth choice for me as far as hot dogs go.
Here we go. Great place to Joslin. Yeehaw!
By the way, just a tip, if you ever like this church, they don't sell gravy. It's just the pasties, either frozen or ready to eat. And in any, hold on. Got the drive up window at Walgreens picking up a script for Mama.
No worries. You can study it. Woohoo!
They sell these little jars of, you can get beef gravy at the grocery store, but look around on the shelf. There's one called au jus. That's the one to get. It's perfect. It's exactly what you need for a pasty. The gravy is like, eh.
You want the beef au jus? Oh,
God.
Au jus. Bless you.
Hold on, let me finish up here at the drive-thru.
I think the pasty king is here by me now. Are you? Who's inside? How did I get to be the pasty king? I've been listening. Well, yeah, here's the...
They're your people. Tell us, O wise one, sage.
The pasties by the bridge are for the trolls. You got to go deeper in the UP.
We need to know.
I always go to Lowry's in Marquette, and there's one in Ishpeming. But, you know, my grandma likes small dunes in Munising. Every time we go up to visit her, we have to stop in Munising and get her a pasty.
Okay. Okay, got Mama's meds. Muldoons in Munising. That sounds like a love ballad, or maybe a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, I can't think of very many places that were up in Houghton. There was like one in a strip mall up there, but I think it was more the Marquette area.
All right, my last stop. I got to run into Bo Shamey's here. Get Mama's pizza slices. I'll be back. This is W8FU.
Sitting here doing 10 miles an hour. 14,
13, 12.
WFSX. Hey, BMI. Looks like that traffic wasn't too long there, Fred. You might be all right.
Just came up over the hill. It looks like there might be something up here ahead. Maybe that's why we're all... I know that where the two lane goes here is further north than this, so I was kind of shocked. Like the thousand.
Yeah, it looks like there's an accident. But is there somebody else in there?
Had to get out into my track. WF.
Hey, you work from home. What are you doing out here?
Making a Chick-fil-A run for dinner.
Bowler?
I don't know if I feel safe out here this time of day with a mostly full moon.
So we'll see that moon pretty bright up around the corner.
Hey, Randy, I can't think of the last time I heard him on the radio.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Can't think of the last time I heard you on the radio.
In Frank Evans' problem?
Wait. It's called Swimming Express that found the cable and had to come out of the truck earlier today. So I had to use the microphone so the radio didn't feel slighted.
Oh, wait, I think you were on the radio Saturday when you were putting the ACRS stuff back up. So I heard you Saturday on the radio. Oh, now Waze is saying police reported ahead in half a mile.
That Randy?
There's some hit from Arkansas.
I didn't quite catch that. I'm assuming it is. Hey, did you figure out what's going on there with that, all that discussion I saw going on? We figure it out or have a clue?
Well, Randy had to tickle a configuration, and then I came out to the truck and successfully connected from my house in the truck on the mobile antenna to both ports. So it's all working.
All right. So if I forget what John said, was it he couldn't get in or he couldn't hear it? But not hearing it is weird. If he couldn't get in, we could have a situation. There's a lot of, there can be a lot of noise on that site, so it could be something like that. But all right. Well, I'm following it. Oh, look at the little party store. Oh no, that wasn't the party store. What was there? All right, anyhow, I digress. I'll follow that, and if at any point there's something possibly needed to be done up there, just let me know, and we can make it happen.
There might be something with the VHF, because I did have to bump up the high power to get in the VHF port, but the UHF, the 9600 baud, which is supposed to be picky-er, first crack, 20 watts, so, yeah, for sure. Anyway, it's the old IP programming thing goes. It works on my machine.
Yeah, usually prefaced with a, huh.
Well, today I learned that I had a programming cable for my 710, which is also the data cable for using the DMC, in my work laptop that I forgot about only after searching the garage and a couple of other places for about an hour and a half. But the real thing I learned was I could set up WinLink Express on a computer that didn't have it and get it running in under 30 minutes if I had the cable.
Yep, there was a I go up to 45.50.
You be cruising. All right, I'm at Meijer's. I decided to order a pizza from Buscemi instead. I didn't like the slices. They didn't look very good, so I said, give me a whole pie. So the guy said it'd be 10-15 minutes. So I'm running over to Meijer's. I got to run inside and get me some of that au jus. And then I'll be back. This is W8FU. Back in a bit.
Yeah, but Chini's is pretty good stuff. Used to run and get a couple of slices and
still not convinced about the VHF port, but it is connecting. The wing link is connecting now, so I think that's a make one change. So, because it had been offline for so long, we made a change. Yeah, I never moved that setting change over to that one. So. All right, coming up to Sasha finally, WFSM.
Yeah, we had that little setting we forgot about in WX3N1, too, so that's what happens when we let our stuff lay around unused for a while.
I know, right? Well, that's because it's not even on the same IP network. We turned those off 2.5 years ago. It's been 2.5 years that we IP'd it now. I think it's been 2.5 years since we got out of 44103. Yes, I know the left lane is blocked ahead. Actually, I'm coming up to where we're merging. This is... Wow! Oh, this makes me feel a little better.
Did you ever get your WCSD stuff straightened out there, Lance? That Trixie release? Got problems in it, or what?
Not really. I rebuilt it, last week, and just been kind of checking it, making sure it's still working. I just actually looked at it right now. Before you said that, I was just logging in to make sure it was still working, but, yeah, I don't know what was going on with it, but it's working so far.
Yeah, was hearing people talking about that trouble would show up with updates. I got 3 hotspots I need to update. I guess I should brace myself for that possibly being a problem and having to do them from scratch with the Trixie release.
Yeah, luckily I had a backup, and all I got to do is re-image it and throw you back up on the root directory, and that when it's building the OS, it finds that backup and sets everything up. So it's actually pretty slick. But yeah, it was kind of puzzling. It did it to me twice, so it just starts forgetting binaries and then won't connect to the system, and couldn't get it to do anything.
Crossing over 60. Still on TJ's repeaters.
Woohoo!
What? did you come down here for something and you headed back up 75, Freddy?
He's in no man's land.
Oh, is it time for me to switch? I crossed over Dixie, so now I'm over on the other one.
Yeah, now you're fine.
Yeah, I was on TJ's there at Dixie. I was still getting it, obviously, but oh well. So yeah, I'm over on mine now.
Yeah, I came down to Bob's to get barbecue spaghetti,
serve chow for dinner, and he's working till 10, so I got there just after 4, and he had a line and a half. I just got out of there, 5:30, 5:45, because I wasn't too worried because the traffic coming home, I saw the line, and I'm like, well, longer it takes down here, the less traffic I get. And then, of course, I hit the accident there just before Sashaba, so from Joslin to Sashaba was... Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm supposed to turn at Chainer, but I can get there from Hayes, so it's no big deal. Well, TJ's machine is something, because I can hear that thing well on an HD in my house. And I think I actually see it with the HD, too. It's just... unbelievable.
found nice tall trees. So look at that, imagine that. I mean, I ran that all day, all the way down. So, I'm surprised I was still carrying it when I got to Dixie. That cliff's right where the FBI drops off, too, so, yeah, it's, gotta fill in that little hole. I really want to get on that ski hill that's there, and I know somebody that's now an instructor person there that works there in the winter, who works for me in the summer, and I'm trying to have him do some magic so that I can get up on that site. Because it's basically on the ridge that would connect those two. Sean didn't believe me when I was doing path studies and showing them the ridge. It's Northern Oakland County here is a weirdo.
Well, there is a ridge. It runs right up through there. It runs through the middle of Rochester Hills. There's a ridge. And sometimes that ridge is kind of hard to get over.
The ski hill starts with a P.
Yep.
Yeah, you can work the other angle, too.
Angles and dangles.
Wow, look at me blowing right by it. Yeah, I'm fine. It's fine. I took 2 hours. Although I got a little chilly, so I had to go get the chair and sit by the fire because I was... The sun went down and it got nipply for damn sure. I'm sitting out there in my t-shirt and, thin sweats. It's almost like it's supposed to snow or something this weekend.
Yeah, they're throwing the S word around a lot for Sunday into Sunday night. We'll see. I mean, it is almost mid-November in Michigan, after all.
I was going to say, my first Halloween in Grand Blanc, it snowed during Halloween, so yeah.
This last Halloween was hardly any wind, and it was cool, but not too bad to be out there in a hoodie. And it's been one of the best Halloweens so far. We guys just at the house handing out candy and stuff. WFO's fault.
Halloween was the best snow we had all year, though. Yeah, it was true. It was kind of a nice of snow. Alright, Saginaw, or Dixie going to be, Saginaw going to be open here? I think the off-ramp should still be open. I know the on-ramps were.
Yeah, we can get off, can't get on.
Nope, I see the hill. Hi, hill.
Aw, somebody's not having a good night. There's about 3 blinky blankies all around one car.
At least the blinky blinky didn't end up in the pond again.
I'm driving right by there where that happened right now. So that was funny. Anybody need anybody?
Wait a minute, if you're going to Chick-fil-A, you could have gone and got some Jollibee. Ooh, Jollibee spaghetti. Or a Yum Burger?
Well, I'm picking up for the picky ones in the house, and I don't feel like making a different stop. I'll just stop in Jollibee's on my own one day when none of the picky pickies are around.
What is that place?
You've not had Jollibee's yet?
Oh, you got to go and get a
heard of it, but I've never been there.
Yeah, you need to go and get a mango shake, too. The spaghetti is...
Yeah, there goes your sugar. It's delicious, but there goes your sugar. So
the
Jollibee's is a Filipino fast food restaurant. They have spaghetti. And it's not a normal spaghetti sauce. It's,
it's a little bit sweeter, or well, a lot sweeter sauce, and it has little hot dogs in it. It's oh, I love me a Jollibee spaghetti. And they have fried chicken, and their fried chicken, people love it. You get spicy or regular. And they've got something called a Yum Burger. It's basically a beef patty with yum sauce, and it's delicious. Mmm. I almost sometimes like it more than Portillo's.
And you're thinking who thought up of this? Well, the beef out of the Philippines.
All right, well, I'm going to have to put it on my list of things, but none of that sounds appealing enough to me to make it a soon thing. Like, I'm more apt to go out of my way to get those pasties you were telling me about up by you than make a stop at Jollibee's, which is right down the road from my work.
How do you say? It's in a, I don't know if it's acquired taste, but there's the chicken, people really love their fried chicken is actually better than KFC.
Yeah, you'll just have to go through there and, you know, try it to know for sure. Oh, yes, Alex.
Is that a weird-looking moon coming through the cloud? I don't know if where you guys are. I'm sure. And then there's like a streak, a straight vertical streak. It must be like where a jet flew through or something. Weird looking. Fading.
When I got on 75, it was nice and red.
Well, that little anomaly I saw disappeared as fast as I saw it. So there you go. Anyhow, Jujubes, Jollibee's, all right, there we go. I think tomorrow we're going to go to Marcus. Where is that, Marcus? Is that 24? What? Where is that at? It's up by you, Randy, isn't it?
Must be ordering Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I had to talk to the order taker here.
I ain't the biggest fan of Chick-fil-A. I mean, it's okay, but I don't see the hubbub. Although I gotta say, the ones down in Houston, specifically in the Woodland, were noticeably nicer than the ones down here. But I haven't been to the new one over by Romeo Plank. I've only been to the first one that opened up there on 59. So there's that, but Randy, there's a place, Marcus, the Polish place, they also, I think, got burgers, nice restaurant, Van Dyke and question mark.
I need to figure out where that is, because the Polish place I used to go to shut down. There used to be the Val's Polish Kitchen that was over there, Rochester Hills, by that Meyer on Rochester Road, Auburn. Marcus, huh?
There's only one real Polish kitchen, and it's in Harbor Springs. And they're only open for lunch. And they're so delicious.
I don't know, man. You get down in Hamtown, and Zosha's or whatever, Zosha's, they might argue with you. So anyhow, now I'm back at the pizza joint. I'm going to run in and get the pie. Hopefully it's ready. W8 of you.
He just went by that dude. Oh, pizza. Oh, is it nap time yet? Yeah, I should have took a nap instead of driving all the way down here, but oh well. Michelle wanted Bob's beef in her mouth later. Even never mind, I got all this pork brats for her. I mean,
yeah, didn't you just smoke enough stuff for like an army or something? What the heck?
Yeah, it took. Well, she portioned it up like she normally does. So we took some to Mom and Dad. And then I took some to work to Todd's last night, dropped some off for them, so they got a couple, you know, so they could have had one. They probably, I don't know if they had it today or tomorrow, but they've got it. Not to mention I got all the brats that I got for her from Kearns. Plus, well, I think I finished the meatloaf. The meatloaf got finished, so had that last night. I finished the meatloaf last night, but
negotiating the Chick-fil-A merge.
Back to my home zone, something back, you know, around my neck of the woods.
Speaking of Riri there, Barbecue, I saw my first post for them on Facebook this morning, actually. He was pimping his new printing business.
Yeah, I grabbed a couple of pint glasses while I was there. And I told him I need to get a nice Siemens logo to the etch, and then we can be sipping on our Siemens.
Oh, that'll go good in that one Discord room there, Sean. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Sean.
Yep.
That Marco's Grill is on Van Dyke, north of 25 Mile Road on the east side. It's called Marco's Grill.
Alrighty, appreciate that, Donald. I may have breakfast or lunch there with Greg and Crazy Dave. If everything goes as planned.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it earlier, but I know somebody who was out in that area about 2 miles away, and I asked them about it, and they said, yeah. And then I GPSed it just in case, and because he wasn't 100% sure, but that's on, again, it's on Van Dyke, north of 25 on the east side. It's called Marco's Grill. Have a good night, WERCY.
Duly noted. Thank you.
So, I've got my pasty, my au jus, but I also have Beauchamy's Detroit deep dish, steak teaser, hot and right there in my face. What's a boy to do?
Oh, wow, it's almost 7 o'clock. Holy hell.
But it feels like midnight. And why is it that happens with this fall time change thing? That 30 minutes after dark, it seems like it's midnight.
Well, I just had a doper in front of me. They stop at a stop sign, and they don't take off. They just sit there. I'm like, what are you waiting for? And then they finally take off from the stop sign, and they throw their right blinker on and turn left.
They're waiting for it to turn to a go sign.
All right, gentlemen, I am going to jump out of here. I am pulling up at home with the pie and everything else I ran out for. Everybody drive safe, have fun, enjoy your salty balls, whatever else is your pleasure. W8FU.
Look at my dog, it's salty balls. Put me out and boom.
I did throw a stack of stickers at me, so I got a bunch of Bob's
stickers to look at, too. There's a couple of funny ones in there.
The smell of fresh waffle fries.
Speaking of stickers, did they get the hoe out of the middle of the road in Grand Blanc?
I don't know, I saw your post, but I wasn't listening, so I didn't know. I did get Santa Ho, was it? Santa Ho sticker or something like that? I do it for the hoes, I think is what it says. I gotta look, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, that's what reminded me of the post from earlier today.
I'm trying to, I clocked out at 3, had 44 hours, so I actually went over my time this month, or week, but I'm trying to decide when I get home if I'm just going to have my dinner, or have some dinner, and just go up and relax, or have my dinner, and go downstairs and find something to work on, because now I've got all day tomorrow to fart around, so I'm kind of like, I probably should just have my dinner and go upstairs. So I found out Michelle's off Saturday, Sunday, so Michelle's gotta be home this week.
Oh, what the hell are you, mother?
You're on northbound 75 during rush hour. You're welcome.
No, car at the f***ing roundabout here. There's nobody in the roundabout. Slams on the brakes and stops.
Oh, they're trying to do an insurance claim.
Hey, they're trying to figure out how to turn right.
It's a yield sign, not a stop sign. Diesel.
The stop sign up there and you solve that problem because they run them like yields.
They almost have a nice Ram logo imprinted in their bumper.
I'm like, geez, so frickin' geez, people.
Oh.
Alright. I love how when I drive by this one house here in the corner, if I'm keyed up, all their lights outside turn on.
Parking device must accept any and all interference.
I bet their cable went out, too.
No, it's the house behind me. I can see them. Oh. Alright, I am backing in the driveway finally. Holy hell.
Did she call the police yet?
No, I was wondering if she was going to show up for Halloween, but she never did, or nobody did. Alright, I got to unplug auto. Alright. Oh, it was deflating. He worked great in the HOV lane going down today.
He don't enforce that anyway, but good call. Glad he helped you. Now, there was a story about that HOV lane not being enforced, and the commander for Metro Post was there and was like, well, you know, we kind of got more important things to be trying to take care of.
Yeah, when I kept getting passed by, like, people in single car, people, drivers, I'm like, you know what? I got auto here. Screw this. No one else seems to care.
Yeah, you got to get auto to the airport. That's why you're in that HOV lane.
Oh, wow. Bob posted it. 8 minutes ago, but he says sold out of everything at 6:15, and I left there. Time did I leave? 5. So not more than I bet you that half the people that were in line behind me didn't get food. I'll have to ask him when he gets home tonight.
Hey, you gotta get there early if you want
Bob's meat. Yeah, I left. I pulled out of there at 5:45, so I bet you people in line there weren't, some of the half those people probably didn't get food because they ran out. All right, back in the driveway, you're going to carry stuff in. Talk to you guys online. WF.
Yeah, I'm probably about a mile away from the house, so catch you later. Lance, see ya. WF.
Let's still in here. W8FU.
W8FU. This is K88UHG.
I got a minute. Just walked in with hot food.
Here to call him, getting ready to go into music practice. I'm going to go to, then after that, run over to St. Clair Shores City Hall and try to get ahead of the thing on those, on your cache of radios and them, securing them on their own on the, through the parade committee.
There you go.
Yeah, to make Paul happy.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay, well, good, Heather. Anyway, I'm running to practice. Enjoy your hot, so whatever you got, hot food. 7-3 for now. This is K-A-8-U-H-T.
Yeah, just walked in with some. I have to give you the run the pasty story. You might have heard. So I've yet to try them, and this evening was going to be the maiden voyage, but. Mama wanted pizza, and I didn't like the slices under the lights, so I ordered a whole pizza, and now I'm going to help her with that. So, another day. All right. Talk to you later. W8FU.
Oh, yeah, very good. Yeah, I did hear I was wrapping up some work and was monitoring there, listening. So I did catch that. I think you got 8 slices. You ended up with 8 slices now, or whatever. Okay, 7-3, 1 appetito.
W8FU, KE8VSI.